welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. Well, let me take care of a little business first. We're going to have ourselves a vigil anti-crime-fighting grandma on the show. Bodybuilder, 62. Thwarted an armed robbery. She's coming in. We'll talk to her about that. Charlie Steiner, sportscaster Charlie Steiner, is going to be on the show. Tommy Chong, legendary Hesher, Tommy Chong. I think I'm going to see him Thursday at the Playboy Mansion for some sort of pot thing. I'm not even, I don't care that much about pot. I just believe it should be legal because it's nonsense, and we'll get into that. But I somehow got recruited by the pot people because I said a few things on a TV show. And basically what I said was, and what I didn't understand is, if you have more than, oh, by the way, producer Angie is here doing the news, filling in for Rachel Perry today. Good morning.
Hey.
Hey. Basically what I said is if you, I remember when the North Hollywood bank robbers got pulled over, and they got pulled over about 6 months before they shot 1,300 rounds into the community, my beautiful North Hollywood. Mm. You know, I used to live on Laurel Canyon down the street from where that happened. Scare the crap out of everybody. But the point is these guys got pulled over a few months before the robbery. And in the trunk of their car, I think they pulled them over in Burbank or Glendale or something, one of the cities a couple miles away from North Hollywood. In the car, they found police scanners and ski masks, body armor, banana clips, and automatic weapons. That was in the trunk. But because of the way our system is set up in such a way when it comes to these violent crimes, well, he didn't do anything. We didn't catch him. You got to catch him doing it, mm-hmm. which I don't like, because if I see you with the police, you know, if I catch you heading over to your ex-girlfriend's house with the rope and the duct tape and the hunting knife in the trunk of the car, I'm just going to do the math. And that's fine. I don't know what percent of the time you had no plans on using the rope, the duct tape, the knife, and all the stuff, and the ransom note that was in the back of your car. But I'm just assuming if you're stupid enough to put that in your car, you're going to deserve to do some time. Anyway, they busted these guys. They gave him a slap on the wrist. They did a little bit of time. They actually gave them back, like the police scanner and their ski masks and stuff like that, some of their weapons and that kind of stuff. And then later on, they went on to do the North Hollywood bank robbery, although they'd been robbing other banks in this sort of takeover manner like that. But the point is we can't do anything. The law can't do anything because we did not catch them in the act. Yet, if you have over half a shoebox of weed, it's intent to distribute. So they can bust into your apartment. You can have a small amount of marijuana, whatever the minimum is. I don't know, 5 ounces or 3 ounces or whatever it is. They can go, well, you were going to sell this pot. And you could go, you didn't catch me selling this pot. We're in my apartment. I'm just sitting here alone with my hay bale of weed. Yeah, that's intent to distribute. And now you're going to get 10 years minimum, mandatory minimum. Which I think is, first off, as effed up as it gets, because I don't care if the guy intends to distribute the weed. I do care what the intent of the guy with the ski mask and the body armor and the duct tape. That's more the guy. As a society, too. Could we just go ahead and prioritize? Could we just go way out on a limb and just go? I'm just going to go way out on a limb and say, I speak for the lion's share of citizens when I say we are more interested in the guy with the modified AK-47 and the duct tape and the body armor and the ransom note than we are the guy with the weed. Mm. I'm going to go way out on a limb and say speak for most people.
Your North Hollywood example. The craziest one to me still of all time is, I know it's 12 years ago or whatever, but how about this? The day you're watching the Juice drive down the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
With a gun pointed at the back of the head of his pal, he's got a mask, he's got a disguise, whatever he has, some sort of wig and disguise. And
he was dressing. Jim Brown was the guy he was dressing like.
Oh,
yeah,
is that right?
Another NFL great.
clever.
Man of color,
yes,
as well.
Yes. And on top of that, you know, he's got a bundle of loot on him. He's making a run.
Yeah.
At that moment, when he's doing that, at that moment. Would you ever imagine that OJ would walk after, when you're watching that at that moment?
No.
That, inadmissible.
Yeah.
That event, he was under stress.
Must have quit.
Yeah.
Well, he was under stress. You can't judge how you'd react.
Okay, right.
Listen, you don't know, Dave or Angie, how you would react if you were in Cincinnati in a hotel room. What the hell did he go? Detroit? Anyway, the phone
Chicago,
rang.
Yeah.
Chicago. The phone rang. Well, let's just put it this way. Dave and I were in San Francisco last third honeymoon. We were in San Francisco.
Every day's a honeymoon.
On Friday. And you don't know how you would react or I would react if the phone rang up into our hotel suite. We're in our room for almost 19 minutes, by the way. If the phone rang while we were both masturbating, I'm guessing I'm doing the math. Now, I was trying to fix the zipper in my pants. Another story. The point is, the phone rang and somebody said, your wife is dead. Come back. Come back to Los Angeles immediately. We went back, found out our wife had been horribly murdered in the driveway of our home. You might just get some cash, a mask, and a gun, and hop in a Bronco and head for Mexico.
I might take you hostage right then and there.
Right, right. You just don't know. That's my point.
Inadmissible!
Point is I started yelling about this on the air, and next thing you know, I became the darlings of the weed world.
You're the spokesperson now.
Yes, I'm now the spokesperson, which is not to say that I love pot, but I do see the hypocrisy, and I do see the amount of money, taxes, and resources we're putting towards something that no one gives a rat's ass about anymore.
So it's a weed convention being held at the Playboy Manor.
Yes.
What a time. If there's gambling there, is there anything that's not covered for fellas?
I know.
It's all the decadence available.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Bo?
Hey, what's up?
What's happening, Bo?
Oh, not much, man. Just kind of drunk in Oregon, you know?
Drunk in Oregon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it happens.
What happened?
Not a whole lot, dude. I actually stayed at the bar until about 5 o'clock this morning, and just sitting here drinking some beers, enjoying your show like always.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Are you home now?
Oh yeah, actually, I am. And living one bedroom, single apartment, which really kind of sucks ass, but you know.
Yeah, I lived in a one bedroom with my stripper girlfriend once in Hollywood. Oh, not a one bedroom, a single. Big
hey,
difference, boy.
So yeah, just like a studio.
Yeah, studio, small studio. That is the biggest difference in the world. You know, people talk about the difference between two stories and one story, or a two door, a four door, a coupe, a wagon. Biggest difference is that room, because your living room becomes your den, your TV room, your living room, your bedroom. It's horrible. One, and if you live with somebody in that, it's hell. Here's the deal.
Well,
let me say this. If Gandhi and Mother Teresa lived in a single, they would be kicking the S out of each other. Gandhi would use the C word, probably day number four, and you'd just be backhanding her. She'd be going at him with a rolling pin. You know, that's the whole thing. Like, you know, men and women, I don't know if they're meant to live with each other or not, but they're not meant to live in that proximity of each other, on top of each other. We were just arguing the whole time. It was one room, half the size of this studio, a super small kitchen and a super small bathroom. That was it.
No walls.
No walls and no ceiling and no floor.
I have my own room. We're
like
mobiles. My own bedroom and all that good stuff.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. And you live alone.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Now, what do you do that you can get drunk on a Monday night all night?
Well, see, I'm a forklift operator for a freight company up here, so mm-hmm. I drink a lot because I get off work at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got close to the bartenders up here, and I'm allowed to stick around the bars. So
what time do you have to be in at work today?
Drunk and yeah.
Okay.
Have a good time.
All right. Well, good. It sounds like you got it all worked out.
Yeah. Well, I just want to be the drunk guy in your program because I know every program needs one drunk guy. So.
Well, we're actually looking for a handful, but you can be one of them.
Well, all right,
Bo.
Hopefully, maybe I can be your local drunk guy. So.
Okay. Well, why don't you? You can represent the Portland area as our drunk guy. All right. So get drunk, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right. Good times.
San Diego, where's your drunk? Phoenix, how about you?
Yeah, how say you, Vegas?
Sacramento?
Yeah.
Rise up, drunkards.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a break.
I'm drunk.
We'll have our crime vigilante. Is she in? Prescott?
Phoning in. She's in Florida.
Oh, she's phoning in. Oh, yes. There it says, yeah. Cocoa?
I think it's Cocoa.
Cocoa? What?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, Cocoa?
We'll take a look at that. Anyway, she's Iris Davis. By the way, is there anyone under 60 named Iris?
Mm.
That's an interesting
one. A mind bender.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. We have another drunk caller. Wants to represent Seattle as our drunk call. Phil?
Yeah.
You drunk?
Yeah.
How long have you been drinking?
Since 10 o'clock.
Okay. So it's been some time. It's been about 8 hours, maybe more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I stopped about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, got to get this.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Get back to it.
I know. Well, yeah, but this other guy calls in. He's like, I want to be your drunk guy, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm the drunk guy because I'm drunk. That guy wasn't drunk, you know?
Well, maybe he was just maybe you're just a lightweight and he was a heavyweight and he could hold his booze.
was that guy drinking Everclear? That's what I want to know right now.
Yeah.
You have him call back in and tell you what he was drinking. We was at the bar or something, you know, popping in those little Michelob lights or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
some
right.
Sort of Nancy boy. Right.
Yeah, you're drinking straight Everclear, huh?
Since 10 o'clock last night.
Yeah. Okay. What do you do, Phil?
Well, I work at Safeway.
You work at a Safeway. The ironically named Safeway when you show up drunk. And hurt somebody. And do you? What time do you have to go to work?
8 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, okay. You got some time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm move forward with the Everclear.
And when you say tomorrow, you don't mean today. You mean Wednesday. Right?
I mean, wait. Today.
Today. That's. I had the feeling you meant today, but it's still yesterday. Here's the deal. When you start drinking, it stays the same day it did when you started drinking until you stop drinking. So if you start drinking at 10 p.m. tonight and you just keep boozing into 4 a.m., 5 a.m., it's still going to be Tuesday.
Right.
It doesn't turn the next day until you put the bottle down and start sobering up. Then it becomes the next day. Geez, you know.
Don't let that happen, though. Stay with the Everclear.
Yeah. The nighttime, the jobs, someone ought to look into it, but I bet there's a ton more alcoholism in the jobs where you start, you know, the swing shift, the graveyard shift, the shifts where you start at 8 at night, 6 at night. Because when you get off and it's 4 in the morning, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta put some booze in your cereal. All right, we have a drunk guy who's a tree climber from Phoenix. All right, everyone hang on, because I like the idea of having our official drunk guys. We look at this as early in the morning when, in fact, it's late at night to a lot of people that are listening to the program. A lot of the folks that are listening, I never really did this math, but we figure a lot of the people that are listening in the 6 o'clock hour, well, these guys are garbage men and other people that, milkmen, people with the word men on the end of their gigs who have to get up early and go about their stuff. But I'll bet you half the people are driving home from their horrible nighttime gig.
Third shifters, yeah.
Third shifters.
We're their Letterman or Kimmel.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Except for not good. Iris?
Yes.
Iris Davis?
Correct.
Good to talk to you. I'm Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Iris.
I watch your show a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I always used to watch you.
Thank you. What show did you used to watch?
Well, I watched the Man Show.
Ah.
And then I saw you the other night on another show. I don't know whether it was the Man Show or not, but I when I see your name up there, I always watch it.
Thank you.
Because he's a looker?
I beg your pardon?
He's a handsome devil,
is
that why?
He's a handsome devil, that's for sure. I'd tackle him any day.
Wow. I found out early and often that folks nearing the end of their life were very attracted to me. I mean that with all due respect, but even as a high schooler, it was all the girls I liked who didn't care for me's moms that were into me. Yes, I maybe sometimes like anything, like a car design or something. Maybe I'm a classic design that speaks to people, because when you were in high school, I looked like the kind of guy you wanted to date. The problem is your kids don't want to date me because we've moved on in design. Well. Interesting. I'm obsolete. But not to the old ones who want to wax nostalgic.
Us older folks know a good thing when we see it.
Thank you. So enough about me and my matinee idol good looks. Let's talk about you and your skills.
Okay.
Your physical prowess. You're
5'1".
5'1". 62 years of age.
Correct.
You hold 11 bodybuilding titles.
Correct.
And what happened? Tell us the story. Tell us the reason why we're speaking to you this morning.
Well, there was a high-speed chase up US 1 here in Cocoa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
There were 10 police cars chasing these gentlemen or robbers who had allegedly tried to rob somebody at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And they were driving northbound in a southbound lane, and it was just inevitable it was going to end in a crash somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to end in a head-on collision right outside my office.
Wow. Now, what do you do?
Well, we were standing there, my assistant manager and myself. We were, you know, watching the police go by.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, boom, happened. And when the crash happened, the three gentlemen, they opened the doors and ran out of the car, and they ran towards my facility. I'm the manager of a storage facility here in Cocoa.
Uh-huh.
And we've got 8-foot fences.
Uh-huh. Now, one of those self-storage places?
Correct, yes.
It's, those places attract a certain breed of cat, I've realized. The folks that want to make use of the self-storage. I would say I know you can't physically look inside each locker, but you would probably find a dismembered prostitute in more than half of them.
I pride myself on my managerial skills, and I don't think you'd find one of those in mine.
A lot of weird dudes, though, dropping stuff off, a lot of shifty cats living in single apartments.
Not really, not here. We're slightly upper scale.
All right. Those places aren't cheap either.
I used to
pack some stuff in one of those. It's like $50 a month for just a, you know, 8-foot by 8-foot
square.
It's more
than that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Oh, that's cheap. All right. Well, I'm old school, as
that's
I said.
Cheap.
All right. So you're over there and you're managing that place.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about life in the fast lane.
Yeah.
I imagine a high-end celebrity clientele coming in and out of there quite a bit.
Yes.
All right. A lot of movie stars.
Not quite, no.
Oh, okay. All right, so these guys take it on the foot after they get into the head-on collision, right?
Yes.
And what do you do?
They ran right at us. We were standing quite close to the fence, and they mm-hmm. ran, obviously, I'm assuming, to try and get over my fence, because behind my facility there's a lot of woods,
mm-hmm.
and they know the area quite well, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And as they ran by, my assistant manager, he made a grab for one of them, and he couldn't quite catch him, but he did stick his foot out, and he stumbled him enough to slow him down and trip him up.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept on running, and then that spurred me into action. I mean, I just sort of said to myself, well, you know, can't let these guys get away, got to do something. So we ran after them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw that there's no way they were going to be able to get over the fence.
Right.
So two of them continued running southbound, and my assistant manager ran after those two, and one of them turned and ran northbound where I was standing.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally had about 3 seconds to make a decision, and I just remember thinking, do I step aside, or, you know, do I jump aside and let this guy run on by me, or do I just, you know, try and stop him because the police are after him? And
right.
I remember thinking to myself, I just can't let him get away.
Right.
And I just kept saying that. But I didn't make the decision till he, like, got right beside me. And as he got to me, I just made a grab for his upper body,
mm-hmm.
and a slight tuckle. I ripped the shirt off him, and then I was able to slow him down and hold him.
Wow.
Until the cop was
so
right there.
It turned sexual.
What an embarrassment for this guy. All due respect to you. 62-year-old woman fells him.
Clotheslined by
now
grandma.
Are you employing some rugby tactics? Because I hear a little Irish in you, yes?
I am Irish. I'm from Dublin, yes.
Yeah, wow. So it's rugby rather than our American football skills that you've employed in this takedown, yes?
I don't know what it was. It was just a bit of upper body strength.
Yeah, well, those years of bodybuilding have paid off.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
now,
finally.
We don't, here in Los Angeles, we've decided, by the way, we should have a sign that just says, welcome criminals. You know, the criminal is king here. We don't do high-speed pursuits here. We just sort of, basically what we do is we, when our cops can't chase anybody too closely because that would then be, you know, there'd be lawsuits against them. So they like to trail behind these guys until eventually they run over enough kids that the kids become caught up in the fenders of the car and they're unable to move forward anymore. And then we'll get out and apprehend them with once these guys have, you know, gotten hold of an attorney.
Right.
You guys do high speed pursuits over there in Florida, right?
As far as I know, I think if there's a gun involved, they will.
Uh-huh. And was there a gun involved with this one?
There was guns involved, yeah. They had guns in the car. They robbed somebody at gunpoint.
Okay, so they
remember.
Yes, they took off without their guns, though. The guy was not...
No, they didn't have guns when they ran. With the crash, you know, I'm assuming that the guns maybe, you know, was knocked out of their hands
right.
or something. And if they were to find them, it would delay them. They didn't have any weapons when they ran by us. No.
Yeah. And so you pounced on this guy. You wrestled him down. You tore his shirt off. You took his pants off.
No.
You got his underwear. What? That's the way I remember hearing it. As I close my eyes and I see it in my mind's eye. You guys made passionate love in front of the storage facility, and then the police officers happened upon you? And joined in sexually?
That's your take on it, Adam.
Everything eventually turns into porn, yeah. So you held on to this guy, and then the cops weren't far behind, right?
No. The cops were, like, right there. Because remember, they were on the other side of the street when all this happened.
Right.
And it was just enough time for them to drive over the median and run.
So now what? Keys to the city? How does it work for you? Where do you go from here?
Where do I go from here? Just back to my good old life, working every day and training and, you know, if somebody wants to, if some fitness magazines wants to put a picture of me in their magazine, I'd like that.
Well, we'll contact a...
Attractive woman. She looks like a Felicity Huffman with a Carol Channing hairdo.
Yes.
Sort of.
Yeah. Sandy Duncan meets Felicity Huffman. Felicity Duncan.
Become a superhero. Devote your life to crime fighting. Iris. Super Iris.
Super Iris. Well, yeah, I've been called worse.
Hey, Iris.
Yes, Adam.
It's sort of pathetic. I don't want to do any business on the phone, but I do have a lot of possessions, and I'm running out of room. Now, I know you're out in Florida, but if you could save me, you know, let's say 10% on one of these lockers, I think it would be worth it.
Ship it out. I'll even help unload it.
Yeah, I'm saying instead of spend, you know, $100, $110 a month for one that's local, I give you $80, $85 a month, and so I got to go to Florida a couple times a year.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I tell you what, Adam, I'll give you one for free.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I'd give you one for free. How about that?
My own locker.
Your own locker. Your own lockup.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, before you go, I want to ask you one favor.
Yes.
I want to say hello to my friends in Long Creek, South Carolina, and my son and daughter-in-law in London.
All right. Well, let's hope they have computers.
They're listening right now.
They are.
They are indeed. They're listening in London.
They're on the computer,
are
they?
They're on the computer listening to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Move out here and clean up this town, would you?
Yeah, we got a lot of troublemakers. There's a lot of folks that need tackling.
You have a job for me out there?
Yeah, we'll find. You can find work, believe you me.
Yeah.
All right, Iris.
Well, Adam, it was lovely talking to you.
You're a dynamite lady.
Thank you very much.
All
super
right.
I'll have to email you a photo of me.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of you right now.
No, that doesn't do me justice.
That doesn't?
Oh.
No, not in the least. It's a horrible picture.
Oh,
I really am quite attractive, and I think I look years younger than my age.
Yeah, but here's the thing, quite honestly, Iris, I got to be honest with you. You're 62?
Yes.
62 years of age. Even if you looked like you were 39, you'd be too old for me.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. I'm just being upfront. I'm looking for, you know, mid to late teens.
I got news for you. You're too old for me.
Oh, good. Well, we'll come down here. I'll show you old.
You would not be able to handle it.
Oh, you can tackle me and tear my shirt right off, just like you do every other guy on the street.
You two won't know if something can happen between the two of you romantically until you get together.
Yeah, exactly. They have to meet. Yeah.
Come
That's
out
right.
here, Iris, and we'll see where it goes.
The chemistry has to be right.
I think it's here.
Come
I'm
on down.
I'm on the plane tomorrow.
Yes, pump up. grease up, shave up, and then you can come down and do the crab for me.
Crime-fighting duo.
That's right.
Corolla with the fists and Iris with the brawn.
That's
just brings
right.
a hammer.
Iris and TiVo man. Super Iris and TiVo guy.
Super Iris.
I monitor the
and
news.
Unibrow.
I monitor the news looking for hot pockets of crime. Then I dispatch you to do my bidding.
I really will have to email you a picture.
Please.
I really will.
Please do. Please do.
I will.
All right.
Just so you know who you're talking to, that picture does not do me justice.
Now, I understand. There's nothing worse than when they take a video shot and stop it and grab a frame from it. Your face always looks like the guy got hit in the chest with the cannonball
I
from
know.
The 20s.
It's horrible.
Yeah, sad.
It's horrible.
Still right. a handsome woman, though.
I still find you attractive.
Well, thank you, Adam.
All right.
You are, too.
Thank you. All right. This is really enough now. I'm blushing.
Awkward, yeah.
This
enough.
Is awkward, especially for your family who's listening. All right. You want to be a drunk caller from Florida?
No.
Okay. You're sober.
No, I don't even know how to pretend to be a drunk.
Right. Your body's a temple, yes?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Good news. Dave's Jewish, so he doesn't mind going into it. All right. All right, Iris.
Adam, thanks very much
Thank
for the opportunity.
You.
It was absolutely lovely to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
I guarantee she has a hot daughter that's not interested in me in the least physically. if history is any indicator of how life works. Well, there you go. Crime Stopping. You know, I was hoping they would do that thing that they did in every 70s and 80s TV cop movie where the person tries to climb the chain link fence and T.J. Hooker tears him off. It used to be mm-hmm. about every cop show needed one scene where a guy was running down an alley, jumped onto the chain link, always got to the one point on the chain link, never got up to the top where they grabbed their foot, just got up that one point, and then they grabbed him and threw him down into the cardboard boxes. We used to have a problem with stray cardboard boxes. They'd be all over the place.
And
alleys
an
filled.
Alley, right.
Guys doing flips on them. Guys falling off, going over motorcycle handlebars. Always guys landing on cardboard boxes. The other move I used to like in cop things, too, is when a lot of tripping people by throwing the baton. Hey, he's getting away. I'll take this baton. Anyone who's been hit by what would be the equivalent to a quarter of a mop handle from 30 feet away while sprinting the same direction knows it'll take you down. Especially if it catches you in the meaty part of the thigh. You go right down. Right into the cardboard.
Well, I didn't want to tell Iris this. I was too ashamed to say as much to her. But I don't like it. I don't like her deeds. Yes, it's noble.
Shaming you.
She's a 62-year-old woman.
Shaming you.
What's my excuse if evildoers come my way? I'm not going to stop them from doing whatever they're doing.
Look, it's the same thing.
She makes me feel bad about me.
Yeah, she shames you. It's the same thing as the guy who's pitching. He's trying out for the Marlins or whoever's got the one bad hand.
The White Sox guy with the one hand trying out. Jim Abbott, the other guy who pitched with one hand. Listen, if you're 6'4" and can hit the ball a mile, fine. You should be in the major leagues. I shouldn't be. I can rationalize that. When you have one hand and you can still make it in the big leagues, where's my excuse?
That's right.
Stop making me look like a jerk.
It's a shaming process.
Yes.
I totally agree. It's nothing short of an attack. Mark?
Good morning, Adam.
Mark, you're the poet?
I do.
What do you have for us?
Here it goes. V for Veritas and that very, like a hot news report from the talented Rachel Perry. We be chilling in Nirvana, rocket to Samadhi, spicy as this chili pepper, this Illuminati. For in L.A. is Adam, the Ace Man's show abode, containing a secret ingredient to the Da Vinci Code. Says Sir Mark the Poet with Templar Tech, sportsman like the good sport Dave Damashek. For genius, Corolla is spiritual, though atheist, he said. Stay tuned to the mystery of Jesus being only mostly dead.
Powerful, meaningless, yet powerful. Thank you, Mark. Would you like to give a plug?
I would love to mention Poems to Babylon, my new book, and Babylon spelled B-A-B-A-L-O-N.
All right. I'm not
going to... No more Y. It's an A.
Thank you, Mark. And are there gems like that within the cover?
There is that and Secrets on the Kabbalah and High Tantra.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to that.
Versatile.
Has anyone ever read poetry? I've never read a book in general, but
sure.
There's certain books that are way down on my list. I could imagine myself reading the Da Vinci Code before I read a book of poems. But you've sat down with a book of poems?
Sure.
Not an assignment?
No.
In English lit class or anything?
Yeah. E.E. Cummings?
Really?
Sure.
And you just sat down and just... Read the whole book?
Nah.
Sort of looked at it?
No, I read, you know, several entries and moved on with my day.
Wanted to see.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
So be it. I'm refined.
Did you want to see what you were missing? Was it, did somebody tell you, pick up this book, look at page 186? Was it, I guess, directed toward anybody? Was there a girlfriend or anything?
No, that wasn't the point of doing it.
Just did it on your own.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. To read.
Gaying. All right, let's move forward.
No apologies see. Coming for yeah. for you know, being a refined gentleman.
Kurt?
Yes.
You want to be our drunk caller from Phoenix?
Yes, I do.
All right. When did you start drinking?
Oh, when I was 14.
Right. And you haven't stopped continuously?
Never.
Now, when did you start today or yesterday?
Oh, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
So yeah. He's been going strong for 12 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I passed out about 3 a.m., got up to go to work today.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you working?
I'm a tree climber.
Oh, you're climbing trees.
Good.
Yeah.
Just impress neighborhood kids, or do you do work when you get up there?
No, I have to take down a big eucalyptus tree that's over a house, actually, today.
Yeah, they always say it's sort of a science. I mean, sort of an art form. You get up there, you tie ropes off to it. You know, you can't let these things come crashing down and smash roofs and stuff. And these guys are way up there, by the way, with chainsaws. By the way, it's one of these things, you don't think much about it, but a chainsaw seems a little unwieldy and a little dangerous when you're standing on terra firma. When you're swinging from the top of a tree 60 feet in the air, it seems like a weird thing to be swinging from your hand. Seems like a recipe for disaster.
And he's drunk.
And drunk. Yes?
That's right.
All right. Well, good times.
Hey, one thing, I got to say this. You know what? I think that your show is awesome, by the way. But Dave Damashek's a spoiled brat.
Wow.
A spoiled brat. Go pump some gas!
He's a spoiled brat.
Pump your gas, creep!
You've right. never gotten your hands dirty in your life.
That's right. He doesn't know what it's like.
Yeah, we'll see who winds up with Iris. She may be all over Corolla now, but when I start reading her some William Butler Yeats,
he's refined.
She'll swoon.
How about some Walt Whitman?
Yeah, go
maybe.
Look in your fancy books and see what rhymes with brat. Yeah.
Cool cat.
All right. Real quick. Matt?
Yeah.
You say E.E. Cummings is gay?
Yes, he is. He writes about homosexual love between men, so I just think it's kind of funny that Dave's reading that kind of stuff.
Well,
I am a gay American.
I will say this about Dave in defense of his sexuality. He does not like other men, but he is, in fact, in love with himself, who does have a penis. So you do the math.
Ah, interesting.
It makes you gay. You don't have to love other guys to be gay. You can love you with the penis and testes. That, I would say it makes you at least bi.
My machismo is fully intact. I was raised on the mean streets of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to apologize to anybody for expanding my mind with a little poetry.
All right. Let's take ourselves.
Go blow is what I say.
Because right. I just went gay.
That's a rhyme right there, like one of the great poets. Go blow.
We will take ourselves a little break. News,
Joe's.
Sports, Charlie Steiner, Tommy Chong, all coming up. Oswaldo. When's Oswaldo coming in? Oh, he's waiting a little while for Oswaldo. He's at 8 o'clock. Hooters Girls. And a lot of show coming up.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. Charlie Steiner, voice of the Dodgers, is going to be on the phone soon. Tommy Chong coming in studio. Ozzy. He's doing Inside Man. Got a new movie review.
America's number one picture.
Yeah.
Number one movie critic.
Nicaragua's number three movie reviewer is going to come in here and review it. Also, let's see, where were we? Yeah. So we came across an interesting story yesterday.
There's this documentarian, this Parvez Sharma. He's a gay Muslim. And you know, he's already made a documentary about homosexuality in the Jewish world,
mm-hmm.
and now he's got a new one that's causing ripples throughout the Muslim world. It's called In the Name of Allah.
Uh-huh.
People are very upset about this picture. It's about you know, gays in the Muslim
world. They're homophobic over there, huh?
Shocking.
Hmm. It's funny because they're not a people who normally judge.
No.
I found. It's live and let live with that part of the world. Interesting. Homosexuality. I have a problem with it. Wow. Well, we've, you know, and I've always thought sometimes when people protest too much, there's a little energy there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Maybe there's a little more homosexuality in that region than they'd like to admit, and that's why they fight against it so bad. So oftentimes when you have the guy who's gay bashing, you know, they do these tests. They hook guys up to tumescence monitors. Brusca's hooked up to one right now. Right now he's at a level 6. That's just below Morning Wood. That's above Leather and below Morning Wood, somewhere in there. They hook these guys up, these guys that are homophobes, to tumescence monitors. It's a ring that goes around your penis, and they show them gay erotica. And guess what? The gay bashers respond to the gay erotica.
Right. And who's more, and again, who seems to condemn it more than the radical Muslims?
Right. So we turned on, and it started to make me think, so we started looking at some of these tapes, and some seem to have some sexual overtones to them. Certainly, as it would pertain to homosexuality.
Hook up the tumescence machine to the Muslim homophobes.
that has been my battle cry since high school. By the way, hook up the tumescence machine to the Muslim homophobes. I was yelling at people that had no idea what I was talking about in the 11th grade. They didn't even know Muslims. So we're, the more you know, we're watching CNN yesterday and saw this Al-Qaeda. I think it's the number two or number three man. He's from Yemen. And we watched his speech. It's one of the latest offerings. They had some, you know, usual stuff. But we sort of watched it now and listened to it with a new ear, and it came across as a little bit different. Check this out.
American infidels, you send your men to rape our land. This is our justice that will be sent down upon you. You will kneel down before us and have the sword of Muhammad thrust into you over and over again. We will drive you from our lands. We will blow you like a sandstorm blows a rigid palm. What is funny?
Must be the cameraman or something.
You may fortify your borders, but you cannot escape the hand of Allah. With one hand, he will come from behind and reach around to drain the essence of the infidel. With the other, you will feel the true fist of Allah. He will... What is fun? What the goddamn for you? What are you laughing? We will not stop until the tip of Allah's sword is revealed and you feel the full release of his raging hot rain upon your backs.
Wow. So, like I said, when you listen to a lot of this stuff, this rhetoric now with this new point of view, it does sort of come across that way a little bit.
The tumescence machine, oh, off the charts, almost as high as Brusca was hitting it.
Well, like I said, over Leather, a little below Morning Wood. Oh, it's back up to Morning Wood. I guess he liked that bit. All right. I'm telling you, now, next time you see these things, close your eyes and really just listen to the words.
Al-Qaeda.
Gator. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. We got news, we got sports, we got Charlie Steiner sitting in on the news, all that coming up. There we go. After this.
This is Candace Michelle, WWE's hottest diva and April's Playboy cover girl, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, you is. 866-901-ADAM. Sports, news. Charlie Steiner going to be sitting in on the sports. First, Sergio.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Sergio.
How you doing, Carl?
Doing good. More importantly, how are you doing?
Oh, man. I wish I could tell you.
You hooked up to that tumescence monitor Brusca sent you out last week?
Sounds good.
Oh, I just want to let you know you got a lot of fans out here, Adam.
Thank you.
Love you. I heard you were out here last Friday partying.
That's right. You call from hell, or are you in San Francisco?
San Francisco.
What do you do over there? Gold miner?
Oh, I work on European cars. I don't like you like them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What do you work on?
Lamborghinis, Ferraris, everything exotic that you like, all the old cars.
Yeah. That's what you need. You need a drunk guy to work on your super intricate foreign cars.
My family, that's why I'm on a,
sorry.
On a tangent here, but I've been off. I was on the wagon for years.
All right. Well, enough of that nonsense. It's time to get off the wagon and onto the Lamborghini.
That's right.
That's right. Which one do you like? What car do you like?
What's my favorite?
Yeah.
I like the Miura, the old
car. Oh, that is one of the nicest cars.
Made well, what do you drive?
Let me impress you for 1 second.
All right, pal.
The Miura V12, transverse-mounted, mid-engine, rear-wheel drive, and in the earlier models, the transmission and the oil, engine oil, were both shared. That was a problem, yes?
Yes,
thank you.
That was seductive.
Yes. Well, listen, I'm a celebrity. He's drunk and horny.
Hey, drunk fella, man. What kind of car do you drive?
I've got a
Daihatsu Charade 97.
No, I got a Cadillac.
Drives a caddy.
Too bad. Everything,
but I have a project car I'm building too.
That's right. What is it?
I got a 65 Ferrari.
Nice. Which one?
GT.
GT what?
See, Spider.
Oh, Spider. All right, convertible. Well, nice, Sergio. All right, you have fun syncing up those Webbers, all right?
Hey, man, you know they're just nothing but a nightmare, those things.
Yeah, I know. I know. All right, let me tell you something about cars. Cars, this is life. It really is. If you want the beautiful, the sexy, the high performance, there's a price to pay. I know it's an analogy I've made before, but that's pretty much how life goes. You want to drive. It's that way with relationships. It's that way with just about everything, though. You want to drive a beige Taurus wagon your whole life, you'll be fine. And if it gets hit in the parking lot, you know, with a shopping cart or something, no big deal. But if you want to drive the sleek and the sexy and the high performance and all that, it's fantastic. It's just there's a price to pay. Mm-hmm. The insurance is 10 times as much. The upkeep is 10 times as much. And half the mornings you go out and turn the key and it doesn't start. That's sort of how life works. But when it's running, you get to be seen in a sexy, sleek, and beautiful automobile.
I see. Well, I was thinking for this poor drunk fella, what a shame it must be to work on beautiful cars all day, though. A Cadillac isn't that big a drop-off, but if he gets into his 91 Geo Prism, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you work on shooting, you know, bisexual pornography all day, girl-on-girl porn, and you're holding the boom mic, and then you go home to your fat old lady.
Yeah,
it's the same sort of thing.
That's
sad.
That's my life. That's my life. Holding the boom mic with the tumescence monitor around it.
But it's also your passion.
It's my passion. Yeah. Well, look at this. Look at it this way, though. This is a rough gig, but my old gig, in many of my old gigs, I used to have to go into, you know, multi-million-dollar custom homes and do, like, custom closets for people who lived in $8 million condos that overlooked the ocean and stuff like that. Putting more into their closet than I had into my entire house.
And then
go back to my single with my stripper roommate and driving home in a panel van with a bunch of born-again gangbangers.
Yeah.
The worse, I would argue.
Tried on all their clothes and walked around and, wiped your
essence.
Nether regions all over
their
clothes.
Thank you.
Out of spite.
All right. Sergio could be our drunk representative from San Francisco. All right. Now, as you know, we're trying to, we just figured this out this morning, but we want a drunk person from every affiliate we're in to sort of represent. Perhaps we'll have some sort of charity softball game or something.
That'd be fantastic.
At a certain point.
Strong candidates out of the gate.
A lot of good drunkards.
From many towns.
Yeah.
What do we have covered so far? We have Phoenix. Portland, Seattle, and now San Francisco up in this piece.
Yeah, come on, L.A. Come on, Vegas. Where's my boozers?
I know, Vegas.
It is time.
Does Angie count for Vegas?
Yeah, I guess so. Speaking of Angie filling in for Rachel Perry, it's time for her to do her news.
Over immigration reform moves to the Senate today.
Mm.
The biggest issue is the legalization process for the illegal immigrants that are already in the country.
Let me just say this very quickly, because I saw the news footage of everyone taking to the streets and waving the flags of Mexico. And this happens quite a bit in this country. Whatever country you're from, a lot of people taking to the streets. A lot of people want their language on the street signs of their neighborhoods. They want to keep their culture alive. They've got a lot of pride about where they're from. Let me just give this very quick message out to all you people, and I hope you take it in the spirit in which it's intended. You are here because your country sucks. Do not ever miss out on that very important message. If your country didn't suck half as much as it does, you wouldn't be here. We didn't drag you over here. You came here, and you came here because something is wrong with your country. You understand? You are essentially somebody who is fleeing a bad, abusive relationship, coming in the arms of a new man and a new family, and wanting to put pictures up of the drunken guy that beat you all over the house. Is that what you want? Oh, yeah, Al. Sure, he had a problem with the sauce. Sure, he took it out on me. Let's put his picture up in the entry hall. Yeah, you must be very proud. You swam, you tunneled, you climbed, you scaled, you got in a coffee can and floated over from Korea. But yet, soon as you get here, let's start waving the flag. Do the math. You're here because your country sucks. Even if your country doesn't suck. All right, let's put it this way. Let's say this country sucks, as you like to say so often. Obviously, it sucks marginally less than your sucky country because you're here. You wouldn't be here if your country didn't suck. So please, get a job, learn the language, and go home and tear your flag down. Thank you.
America. Our country sucks a little less than
yours. Less than yours. Whatever you want to say about this country, whatever you want to say about the government, whatever you want to say about the military, it does not suck as much as your country. That's why you're here and we're not there. Thank you. I'm Adam Carolla, and I need your phone. We don't suck as badly as you do. That's my whole thing. We, you know, we got too much pride. We're like, what? We're the number one. We're the greatest. No other nation. Now, I'm going to downgrade it to does not suck as badly as your sucky country. Thank you.
Al-Qaeda member Zacharias Moussaoui testified that not only did he know about the September 11th attacks ahead of time, but that he and shoe bomber Richard Reid were supposed to hijack a fifth plane and fly it into the White House.
Every time I see a picture of Richard Reid, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. It's like, well, he did want to take down a commercial aircraft. On the other hand, oh, my God, look at this guy. Jesus effing Christ, what is going on? Boy, does this guy need a publicist. He needs some Vitalis and, like, a 10 blade razor. All right, yeah. I know. I feel sorry for the poor guy because he has to have representation. You know, they do their best stopping the bleeding, making a case, and then this guy takes the stand and in 20 minutes undoes everything they've been able to do. Fantastic. Let's kill him.
An official announcement came this morning that White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card has resigned, and he's going to be replaced by Budget Director Josh Bolton.
Yeah, it's about time. Big fan of Josh.
And in celebrity...
Michael's brother. Less successful.
Mm-hmm.
In celebrity news, Sharon Stone's all over the place. She's promoting Basic Instinct 2. She's talking about sex and being naked. Here she is on David Letterman talking about how she decides if she looks good enough to be in a nude suit.
I had my best friend come over. I put up the old when I took off the flannels and went, what do you think? She said, go.
Go. Yeah, meaning go out to the patio and kill yourself. I'll be in your kitchen eating.
This is how we make our decisions in the world. Of course, Sharon Stone, you strip nude for one of your friends and say, how do I look?
Yeah.
What do you think the answer's going to be, Sharon?
Right. What's her friend going to say?
Yes.
Oh, you look to you.
This is how 18-year-olds wind up ruining their lives going into the NBA because they say, what should I do, fella? Should I do it? Man, you don't need college. Just go straight to the NBA. You'll make millions. You'll be the biggest star there. Bad advice. Like, what's shocking? Sharon Stone strips nude.
Well,
strip nude and ask us how you look. I'm sure we'll all say you look dynamite.
The other thing is
maybe not.
I want to put a moratorium or at least an age limit on discovering your sexuality. Let's call it 45. What is she, 47?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you become like the age of one of my mom's friends, I don't want you rediscovering your sexuality. That's enough. You either get nude from 15 to 35 or you don't get nude at all. That's right, I went 15. Because in Hawaii, that's the way they do it. All right.
She also mentioned...
And she's also slowly going insane. Maybe she has syphilis or something that's eating her brain.
She mentioned that she might be in Playboy, too. She was in there before. She's going to be in there again. But she also talked about a threesome that was cut
from... I'm going to have to build a time machine so I can masturbate.
She talked about a threesome that
was... I'm not going to travel in time. I just need a secluded place I can masturbate. You know, the time machine doesn't have windows. But go in there, close the door. Wife leaves me alone.
Solitude.
You're spending a lot of time in that time machine. What date did you go back to this time, honey? I don't know. March 2006. That's the date. That's today. Oh, well, what'd I say? 2006?
What can you tell us about pre-Revolutionary War America?
What can't I tell you about it? Now, I need more time. Why are you bringing porn back? You don't know if they're going to have porn in the future. Do not question my ways. I'm a scientist. Now give me that Nivea.
My methods are my methods.
I don't know if they have Kleenex in the future either. Could have been outlawed. All right. Sorry.
And last week we talked about Star Jones. She almost died from her breast lift. She lost blood. Here she is. She called The View and talked to the ladies about what happened.
I did not almost die. There is nothing worse than sitting in a bed watching a crawl across TV that says, Star Jones faces death. I went, oh, my God, I did? I am 100%. I had my boots lifted. I mean, after you lose some weight, you sometimes go real flat, and I really wanted to lift them up. Yes, you'll be able to see them, but you won't notice a big deal. It's not like I went and got the triple D's.
Phew. I was worried. I was very concerned about her.
I would just love to get her and Sharon Stone and Eva Longoria and put them in a cabin with no TV, and they could all discover how painfully annoying they all were. Do you know what I mean? Because I think when they're talking to the press, they don't know it. I think they need to hear the sound of their own voice reflected back to them in the voice of another. I think Star Jones needs someone as equally obnoxious and annoying as she is, perhaps Sharon Stone, to really realize just how annoying she is. More
Amen.
Of her. Yes, thank you. The more
and
you
Jennifer
know.
Aniston also declared on Insider last night that she doesn't watch TV.
Yes, I know. It's ironic when I watch someone on TV declaring they don't watch TV.
Yes.
It's weird.
And going on at length about the fact that it's not the business that bothers her. It's not the starring in movies and TV shows that bugs her. It's all the extracurricular stuff, the focus of the TV interviews and the magazine covers. Is she forced against her will to do these things?
Yes.
Does someone drag her and dress her up and put the makeup on her and shoot her against her will?
Yes.
Because it seems like she's on a magazine cover constantly.
Don't make her a victim. That's what she kept saying.
I'm not
a victim.
That's right. All right,
and this is an update on a story that we did a couple weeks ago. The guy from Germany who was convicted recently of killing and eating his friend may be getting more than the 8.5 years he was convicted to.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutors are saying that they're trying to extend his sentence. If you don't remember the story, this guy had dinner with a guy that he met on a gay cannibal website.
Yeah.
And the guy he met agreed to be eaten and killed. First, they severed off his penis, sautéed it, and ate it over their final meal together with some wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the murderer hanged the guy on the butcher's hook and slaughtered him like a calf. And it was all on video. That's why it was only 8.5 years, because the guy who was killed agreed to the whole thing.
Well, as I've learned, you can't judge. You just can't. Imagine your own penis is your last meal. You know, for me, I go Popeyes, but, you know, to each their own. And I wonder if there was a tumescence monitor still attached. That's the thing when you're eating a penis and it's like, I got something here. What'd you get? Tumescence monitor. I always forget to cut that off. Butcher forgets to cut that off.
That's how you know it's done.
Good times, yeah. Pops up, yeah. Something pops out of there. A little red piece of plastic comes out of the urethra, and that's how you know it's done.
Gross.
Nice. All right. You good?
I'm good. I'm Angie, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
It is Final Four week, the most storied franchise, well, not franchise, school in college basketball. UCLA has returned to the rightful place, the Final Four, where they'll meet the mighty LSU Bayou Bengals. On the other side, you have Florida, maybe the favorite, a lot of people are saying, and George Mason is still in the Final Four. The question everyone's asking, can George Mason do it? The answer, no. Come on, enough's enough with these people.
That'd
right.
be nice.
Great games over the weekend, and I was looking forward to getting all set, getting my head right for the big games. I wanted to get the 411 on Saturday's Final Four. Went to ESPN, my go-to, of course, to find out a little, get a little talk about these teams, and here's what I heard.
Third seed Stanford has its own tree, and top seed LSU to worry about. Winner moves on to the Final Four. Candace, Candy, Candance, Candace Wiggins.
What? What is this?
After the free throw.
Stanford.
2 minute mark.
They're not in the Final Four.
LSU up three. Sylvia Fowles tips the Wiggins entry pass.
Oh, wait a second. Girls basketball. Let me tell you something. I don't want to sound like a misogynist. It's not that it's women's basketball. It's not women that are playing basketball that gets me down.
Right.
No one in the history of my life has ever once brought up women's college basketball to me. Or NBA WNBA basketball.
Other than to mock it.
Yes.
Yes.
Who talks? Who watches this? Why must I not be ever allowed to watch hockey? Because no one cares about hockey, and yet I can name hundreds of people who care about the sport, and yet this is pushed down my throat on ESPN. It's supposed to be my salvation, my respite from nonsense in the world. I can go there and talk with and listen to my friends tell me about sports.
Well, I believe there's a bunch of stuff like this. I think Nicole Richie falls under this heading. We don't give a good goddamn about Nicole Richie. There's not a human being I've ever met on the planet that would give her above a 6.1 in the looks department, or that thinks she has any discernible talent whatsoever. There's no male that's attracted to her that I'm aware of on this planet. Yet she's at the front of every news magazine, every night, every story, everything. Nicole Richie's getting a makeover. Nicole Richie's lost some weight. Eva Longoria's put some weight on. She's having a birthday in Mexico. Nobody gives a rat's ass about this. Yet, they keep spooning it to us, and this is the celebrity version of the WNBA. Yes, there are things that somehow the man has decided we should care about when we've sent him the repeated message, we don't care. Here's the deal. You own a restaurant. There's an item on it that's never been ordered. Take it off the menu.
Yes.
Take WNBA and Nicole Richie. What if Nicole Richie played for the WNBA?
Now that I would watch.
You would.
Ironically, somehow that one would intrigue me. But yes, right. Your larger point, my larger point. Well made, sir.
Thank you. Although I think my point is larger because I saw it when we were at the urinal the other day.
Now, I understand Chaz Steiner is on the line, so I don't want to hold him up. Let me just say this very quickly. In the NFL, I know we're months away, so it's a little pathetic to be talking about it. But exciting news, they've announced that the Thursday night game that will open the season, the Miami Dolphins and their new QB, Dante Culpepper, will pay a visit to the city of Pittsburgh. The reigning kings of the football world!
Wow.
And then on Sunday night, the first Sunday night game of the year, it's Peyton Manning and his Colts in New York, or should I say New Jersey more accurately, to play Eli Manning and the Giants. Brothers going to war!
Wow.
Ooh la la.
Yeah.
Now, more importantly, for the moment, we have to get on to Chaz Steiner. I want to talk to him about Barry Bonds and his latest pathetic plea. Let's go to Chaz.
Chaz, you there?
ESPN was your go-to site. That was my came-from site.
Yes. Right. 14 years over there.
Thank you very much.
On SportsCenter. Charlie, thanks for being part of the program.
I'm thoroughly ashamed. Bon appetit, by the way.
L.A. Dodgers broadcaster for the road games, correct?
Well, home on the radio and television on the road.
Right, home on the radio, television on the road. The how say you about Barry Bonds? We know you're no fan. I don't know anyone who is a fan. But let me ask you this, because I've never met the man. Is there too much about what an a-hole he is? Might he be a decent guy and we're misreading him somehow?
Is this kind of like a Nicole Richie kind of reference?
Yeah.
Here's a guy who has been pampered from the day he was born. The word no does not apply in his vocabulary. And so now when all of this stuff is coming home to roost, he's incapable of digesting it all.
Well, that's an interesting point, which, you know, when I used to talk to Jimmy Kimmel, the great Jimmy Kimmel, about him giving the guys on the Fox Morning Show a good ribbing when
Howie
he used to
Long
be part of that.
Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah. Howie Long, who was 6'5 and 245 in the ninth grade. How much ribbing is this guy used to taking? Therefore, when now at age 45, for the first time in his life, some guy who's a foot and a half shorter but 3 feet wider along the waist than he is going to poke some gentle fun at him, and their idea is to smash a chair over his head. Not used to it, and I would say maybe the Barry Bondses of the world aren't used to it either, don't know how to deal with it.
That's exactly right. Bonds is a walking, talking contradiction. You know, at one point he hates the media, and the other point he loves being the center of attention. You know, at one point he's not going after records, and at the other point that's all he's consumed by. Mm-hmm. So to try to get a fix on where he's coming from one day to the next, you know, a couple of weeks back he said, oh, I'm gonna retire at the end of the season, and then about 10 minutes later he talks to another reporter, I'm not so sure about that. And so when you get the forked tongue from Barry Bonds, both things he is saying are true at that moment but likely to change without warning. And so that's where this all stems from. And you know, I've known Barry a long time. There are moments when he can be charming, but more times than not, because of this internal conflict, he's not sure which Barry Bonds is going to show up from one day to the next, much less 1 hour to the next.
I always like it when people say that, though. That's the worst condemnation you can make about a person, is to say, hey, there are moments when Barry Bonds can be charming. So that is true for every person that's walked the face of the earth.
Ted Kaczynski had his days, too. Yeah, they always do that. Yeah, there were times when he was sober where he was a great husband.
There were 4 minutes back in 93.
I'm not making a value judgment on what kind of a human being he is. I'm just telling you the observation that I've had knowing him over the years. There are times when you can sit down, be perfectly rational, and have a genuinely and generally ego-free conversation. Then moments later, he's off on Barry Bonds being Barry Bonds.
The roids have turned his brain to mush, in other words.
More than likely.
I have it's interesting, because when you talk to people that are doing drugs, they're not who they are. And maybe, you know, I know that this isn't necessarily a mind-altering drug, but to some capacity, I guess it is.
You know, you always hear about roid rage. Not so much road rage, but roid rage.
Right.
Again, I've never seen him shoot himself in the ass or anyplace else. Clearly, the suggestions are, and this latest book seems pretty condemning and damning, that, you know, he's got some stuff floating around inside his system. Let me share with you this. In 2001, when he went from 68 to 73 home runs, I was lucky enough to call those games for ESPN. So I spent a lot of time with him during his pursuit of the record. And the morning after he hit his 73rd home run, it was a Saturday morning in San Francisco, and it was about 8:30 in the morning. It was going to be an afternoon game, and I got to the park early, and the only guy in the clubhouse at that point was Barry Bonds. And that the clubhouse was his sanctuary, and there were just the two of us in there. Bonds reading the newspaper, and me, and we're just chatting, and it was so fascinating to watch him read about himself the morning after he hit his 73rd home run. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, what are you looking at? Is that Barry looking at Barry Bonds, or Barry Bonds looking at Barry? And he looked at it for a moment. He said, it's Barry looking at Barry Bonds. Point being that really there were two separate people, the guy and then the home run hitter. And that he's a split personality in many ways.
Well, first, I found another reason to hate him. He gets to work early. And you know the way I feel about those ass kissers. The other thing is this just came to mind. Obviously, his father was a perennial All-Stars, Bobby Bonds, right?
Sure.
And now you probably been around long enough to know his father, at least have met his father.
Sure.
What kind of guy is he? Because maybe maybe this could shed a little light on the whole situation.
There are a lot of issues, and it's also pointed out in that book. Bobby Bonds, like all baseball players, they're away from their family 7 months out of the year.
Right.
Number one. Number two, Bobby drank a lot. Mm. And the stories were, and it's certainly suggested in the book, that he was a somewhat abusive father.
Interesting.
And then you throw into the mix, he was a terrific player. So here's Barry constantly being compared to Bobby. Oh, by the way, his godfather is Willie Mays.
Right.
You know, again, I'm not defending the guy, but these are the facts.
Right.
And there's always been this sense of great expectation. And as a result, his ego got, you know, clearly carried away.
Yeah.
And again, nobody has ever said the word no to him, and those who have been thrown by the wayside.
Well, I don't want to steer the conversation back toward myself, but I know what it's like to grow up in the shadow of a great man. My dad was one of the better substitute school teachers at North Hollywood High had.
And blowers of the flugelhorn.
And amateur blowers of the flugelhorn. Yes, and then, of course, my godfather, Vince, who lived in the one bedroom in Santa Monica, was one of the greatest part-time bartender / pinochle players Santa Monica had ever seen.
There is pressure.
I know what it's like to. I know it's a burden, and I know what it's like to grow up in that shadow. But now I've carved out a niche for myself.
Well, you know, it's the game of shadows. This is a new book, part two.
Chaz Steiner, we are now 6 days away from opening day. How say you about the National League West?
I think two teams in the National League West improved themselves from 6 months ago to now, the Dodgers being one and Colorado being the other. The Giants basically will win or lose depending on what goes on with the aforementioned Mr. Bonds with his knee, his head, and the media attention. I think San Diego took a step back, and I think Arizona's a year away. Having said all that, I like the Dodgers first. I like the Giants second. Padres third. And you got Colorado up there still. And Colorado and Arizona still a year away.
All right. Well, we'll be anticipating the opening of the season. 6 days, did you say?
Six days away.
Right around the corner.
Love listening to Chaz Steiner. He's dynamite. Rick Monday and the incomparable Vin Scully.
Thank you, Charlie.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Bon appetit again.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think he's still talking about the German candidates.
Yes. Number one sports.
All right. So, as Charlie just brought up before we went to break, we did bring up the German who ate the other guy's penis and then ate him. I think we'll be doing one of our famous phone recreations. Maybe a father hearing the bad news from the police department.
About his victim, yes. My son.
Yes, you can look forward to that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. Legendary comedian Tommy Chong going to be in studio in just a couple of few. Also is Waldo. Legendary reviewer Oswaldo's doing Inside Man, and then later on, Tommy Chong and Oswaldo hook up for a classic Cheech and Chong bit that we haven't told Chong about yet. So we'll see if he does it. Let's hope he's not listening. All right, now, as promised, from time to time, we like to do these reenactments. You see a lot of them on the TV crime
shows. Can't imagine how bad it must be, right? So we try to bring it to life.
What must it have been like? That's right. Of course we weren't there, but this is and we're both intelligent men. This is as close as we can estimate. Now, we are going to reenact what, Dave Damashek?
Well, there's the story from a little while back about two guys who met on a gay cannibal website in Germany, where the one guy nicknamed the Cannibal of Kassel.
Mm-hmm.
He would meet fellas online, and they'd come over, and then he would kill them. Mm-hmm. He'd cut off their penis. Mm-hmm. Well, he'd cut off their penis, then kill them,
right,
and then eat them.
He would eat the penis with the person.
Right. He'd saute it,
mm-hmm,
kill them, eat the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what must this be like if you're the victim's parents finding out about your child?
Who's been consumed by the cannibal of Kassel. All right, so that's the phone call. You're the police?
I will be the police calling with the
I'll be the father
news
of the victim.
Right.
All right, here we go. Hello?
Mr. Sauerkraut.
Yes, this is he.
This is Officer Stoltenheim.
Officer Stoltenheim, yes.
I'm German.
Yes, what
As
is
are
it?
You.
What is it?
I'm calling with awful, awful news.
What?
You might want to sit down.
Parking ticket went to warrant?
No. Something much, much worse.
Moving violation went to warrant?
Your son.
My son got a ticket?
No, your son is passed away.
Hold on, give me a moment. Okay. They never do that. Can we have a moment of silence for my son? Okay, we're good.
Yes,
he passed away.
Yes, he's dead.
What happened? Thwarting a crime? Something happened. Old woman was being abducted, molested, and he got in between that and the gunman? There was body in front of the bullet?
No, it was unfortunately.
Vigilante, brave. Brave man.
You are right that it was a violent crime, yes.
He took on some street thugs, and they got the best of him.
Well,
probably
no.
Outnumbered.
I don't know if you're aware. Are you aware that your son was, in fact, homosexual?
He mentioned he was gay once, but I thought, well, sure, we're all gay. That's why we whistle.
No, homosexual, as though he enjoyed man-on-man love, rather than...
Well, sure, he had
intercourse
friends.
...with a woman.
We all have our male companions.
No, he enjoyed making love, intercourse, with other men.
Well, he was a top.
Well, it...
that much I know.
I'm not sure about that, but moving on,
I
think you
should. Yes, he said he tried
know.
It once, but he left it far behind. Those were his college years.
Well, I don't know that that's the case, because he was into some... He enjoyed surfing the online, the web.
Sure, probably looking for predators, trying to trap them.
Something like that, I guess. He went to a gay cannibal website.
I'm sure. Sure he did. Vigilante justice. He found a man who was trying to prey on young teens, and he went over there to put a stop to it, I'm sure.
Well,
and then
no,
got caught in the crossfire.
I'm not sure about that, what his initial intentions were, but I do know that he came across an ad on this gay cannibal website asking for young men to, quote-unquote, come to me. And I will eat your horny flesh.
Now, again, he sussed out this animal and used his body as a human shield.
I'm not so sure about that, because this is uncomfortable. This is touchy.
Well,
speak
area. Your mind. I can take
he
it.
He went to
My
this
son was
gentleman's home. I used the term loosely, gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a man nicknamed the Cannibal of Castle's home,
mm-hmm.
where it would appear that he willingly allowed the Cannibal of Castle to cut off his penis.
His toe, did you say?
His penis, I said.
His finger, did you say?
His penis.
Earlobe?
Penis.
Nostril?
Penis.
Small toe?
Penis.
Elbow. You say what?
The cannibal cut off your son's penis.
No, he held him down. He drugged him. He duct taped him to a bed, and then he lopped off. He severed his mammoth penis.
Based on the evidence that we have, it would appear that he willingly allowed the cannibal to cut off his penis, and then the cannibal placed it into a saute pan and fried it up.
Fried my son's finger?
His penis.
Earlobe?
He fried up his penis.
Eyebrow?
His penis, and on the side, like Brussels sprouts, his testicles were presented.
Oh my God.
And
he gave up his own genitalia so that a young abducted teen could go free. Run! Escape to the outside world and go for help! I'll let them cut off my genitalia while you go to the authorities!
Again, the evidence suggests that it was more just because the Cannibal of Castle enjoyed eating sautéed wang.
Well, thank God my son did not partake in any of his own wang, in the ingestion of his own wang.
Well, he was, in fact, maybe had a little bite or two and then was... To celebrate, I guess, the meal or punctuate the meal's dessert.
It was liquefied, I'm sure, and injected into him while he struggled.
No, I think he willingly went along with the eating of his own penis.
Finger?
Penis.
Eyelid.
And then the victim was stabbed to death by the cannibal. And
so after this man wrestled my son's penis away from him, massaged his throat, forced him to ingest it, my son killed him.
The two of them cooked up the aforementioned wang, ate it, and then, unfortunately, the worst possible news, the cannibal stabbed your son to death, and into different, carved them into different pieces and froze them. And he's been gone for a few weeks now. And some of him is still available. I have some of it
give
for
me a
you
moment.
If you would like the
give
frozen
me a moment,
parts. I'd be
please.
More than happy to...
Give me a moment. My father went the same way.
Those seem like incalculable odds, and my heart goes out to you, sir.
It'd be easy for me to blame myself, but I'm going to blame my wife.
Well, as I said,
cut off many years ago.
We were able to retrieve roughly 160 pounds of your son's frozen flesh.
Mm.
You know, all four limbs,
all right,
fully intact. Well. One of the testicles.
Oh well, there is a rainbow
nose.
In this storm of hatred. Well, box him up and send him over.
FedEx?
Yes.
All right. I'll have one of the guys run him over to you.
Yeah, go ground. I don't want to pay the extra $6.
That only makes good sense.
Yes. And thank you again for your courage.
Keep your chin up.
Penis?
And your penis.
Oh. Thank you.
And let the other kids know. Maybe the gay cannibal websites.
Well, maybe if his life was not given up in vain, then it'll all be worth it. If this can stop one young man from consuming his own penis and then being hung from meat hooks and turned into fillets, then it's worth it. Actually, if it's just one, it's kind of a push. You know what I mean? They always say, if giving up my life can stop just one, but I would argue that's a push.
From your mouth to God's penis.
Yeah, but two or one and a half, then we've made some progress. All right, thank you. And scene. Powerful stuff.
You are wonderful again. Dave,
you
were sturdy in the role, but also fragile. We really felt that your son was lost to eating his own penis. I believed it.
And I believed you in the role of the police officer. I really did.
Yes.
And again, thank you for creating a safe environment where my creativity could flourish.
Well, I felt like that you were giving me a lot of room to take some chances, and I did.
Well,
I took full advantage
courageous.
Of it, I think.
You're courageous.
Thank you.
You're a hero.
Right back at you.
You're a hero.
Was I nervous working at the idea of working with Adam Carolla? Sure I was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came in and found out how generous you were,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's why I got into acting.
Wow. Thank you. Again.
Thank you.
Again, you're a hero. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. Speaking of heroes, Tommy Chong is coming in. He's out of the joint. I think I'm going to see him on Thursday, some sort of pot advocacy program thing, but we'll find out about that. Anyway, Oswaldo in, Hooters Girls, all that coming up. A little vintage Cheech and Chong for you. Tommy Chong in studio. Good to see you again, Tommy. I think we got to turn his mic on there.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Tommy.
Yeah.
You too.
It's about time you got your own starring role on a
really?
Show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Tommy and I met a few times doing Loveline. I played in a celebrity softball game that he sponsored. And made the greatest catch of my life.
Really? You sponsored a
softball
game?
I'll never forget. It was the best catch ever made in my life. Off his son's bat, too.
Wow, it was a home run. You robbed him.
His son swings a good stick. Let me tell you something about Tommy Chong. If you've seen him with his shirt off more than once, like I have, in the many old Playboy specials he used to be in. It was always Tommy, Cheech and Chong poolside while a beautiful, busty woman got out of the pool. Tommy, in pretty fantastic shape, I must say. How old are you now?
I'll be 68.
68. Hmm. You look good. You're solid.
Yeah, I feel good, man. I'm on a new diet thing, and so I'm really feeling good now.
So just pot brownies in the morning, pot brownies for lunch, and then a sensible pot brownie for dinner?
No pot.
Really?
I mean, no more pot. I'm on a sabbatical. I'm actually on a protest fast.
Against weed?
Yeah.
For weed?
Against the government. Yeah,
oh, really?
I'm not going to start smoking again until it's legal.
Wow. Is that right? No weed.
No weed.
Wow.
No.
You said no
officially.
Smoking.
Officially.
No smoking. Now,
no weed officially.
I don't, you know, it's, I've heard little bits and pieces about your time in the joint and the story, and people say you were arrested for making bongs, and other people say, no, you were arrested for perjury. What is the entire story? Just give us that.
We got a documentary called AKA Tommy Chong that'll be out pretty soon, and it tells the story I didn't even know about. What happened, my son had the son that hit the ball that you got.
Yeah.
He started a pipe company, a glass bomb
right.
company,
mm-hmm.
and he was selling it all over America except to Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
where the home of the DEA.
Right.
And what the DEA did, they kept trying to get him to sell, the company to sell to the head shop the DEA set up in
right.
Beaver Falls.
Mm.
And our company wouldn't send it to him because it was, you know, on the map, and we knew that it was illegal. They would persecute.
Right, right.
So what happened, the DEA then made a trip to Los Angeles to my son's factory, bought up a lot of stuff, and then convinced or paid off or had some informant inside the company send it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that broke the law.
Do you have, so essentially the man entrapped
yes.
your son, and then
big time, yeah.
you ended up doing the time.
Yeah,
your son didn't do any time.
No, my son or my wife. What the government then came to me and said, they raided my house.
Sure.
You know, and they come in with the SWAT team and the visors and the whole
right.
everything, except the dogs. They never had dope dogs with them.
Of course, I assume. Well, because you posed a terrible threat to society.
Yeah.
With all that weed in your house.
They never had the weed on the search warrant. They had to pencil that in when they found weed. Because they asked me, do you have any weed? I said, of course I do.
I have any weed.
And they said, where? I said, anywhere, everywhere, everywhere.
Yeah, it'd be faster to tell you where there's not
it.
Weed.
Well, I don't smoke that much, you know.
You're talking to an effigy of me made of weed right now. I'm actually working a microphone behind a curtain.
Yeah. And then I told one guy, I said, well, there's a real good bud in the basement. And the DEA guy goes down and comes back up and he tells his superior, he says, I can't find it. And I started bugging him, you know, I started ragging on him. I said, what kind of DEA agent are you?
Wow.
Then he got a defensive. He goes, well, I don't have my dog. I said, that's another thing. What kind of raid is this? No dogs? He said, well, we're not really looking for pot. What are you looking for? Well, then the guy finally told me, bongs.
Does Tommy Chong's basement have weed in it? Is sort of one of those, does the bear ass in the woods
yeah.
kind of things. It could be
it
easily replaced when somebody said, you know, was she hot or was it a bad job or was it a tough day? Does Tommy Chong's basement have weed in it? I hear you, buddy.
Let that be the new one for all of time.
I think, why not? The bear one seems it's antiquated.
Tired,
We're
yeah.
living in the city these days. Right. A lot of kids don't even know bears. Or woods anymore.
So what they did, they didn't arrest me. They
mm-hmm.
they just told me that I was going to get a deal from the government.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear from the government. So my lawyers went down and talked to their lawyers, and they said, here's the deal. Tommy Chong pleads guilty, and we won't go after his son, and we won't go after his wife.
Oh, and that's why you pleaded guilty.
And that's why I pleaded guilty.
It so many things to talk about. First off, it's amazing that we always, you know, the folks in charge, the mayors, the officials, city council people, chief of police, they always claim that they're underfunded and understaffed. We just don't have the manpower when they do these things where the weapons-grade plutonium gets shipped in through the port of L.A. and trucked through downtown L.A. And people say, where are the guys that are checking the ports? Hey, we don't have the manpower. Why do they have the manpower for the chicken ass stuff? You know, I drive down my street, I see the cops sitting there by the four-way stop sign waiting to bust the secretary in the minivan who rolls through the four-way at 3 miles an hour. That they have the manpower for. I remember talking to Heidi Fleiss about the 30 or so guys that were posing as Japanese businessmen who were banging away with Fleiss's women and, you know, stakeouts that took years and years. That they have endless manpower for. Don't seem to have the manpower to beef up the security at the ports, to work the terrorists, nothing around the borders, and nothing to stop the street crime, but endless manpower to go after Chong
oh, yeah.
and his bong.
Well, you know, when I was in jail or in camp, you know, most of the inmates, so many of the inmates were in there for pot-related offenses.
Really?
Growing,
not just drug,
selling,
but pot-related.
Pot-related. And they were doing time. There's one guy in there for, he got 20 years. One was doing 30 years.
Yeah.
Finishing up. And the reason they got so much time was that, you know, they grow it on their farm. And then the cops, when they raid it, they find a gun.
Right.
A rifle.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, a hunting rifle in their house.
Right.
Boom. Enhancement, and you're gone for 10, at least 10, up to 20 years.
I feel like we need to explain to the man the difference between crimes and the difference between drugs, which is to say, if a guy's doing meth or he's freebasing coke, there's a drug we'd like you to intervene with. These guys are dangerous. People get high on meth and kill people all the time. But not so interested in the weed.
No.
You just hang out, watch a little Speed Racer on TiVo, and call it a night.
Mm-hmm.
Make the proclamation you're going to make love to the old lady, but that never comes to fruition. Just watch the end of Speed Racer and pass out on the sofa. That's, there are differences between drugs that the man never understands. You know, they always say stuff like, was he on drugs? Was he on drugs? And I always yell, which drug? Because if you tell me the guy who walked back into the party and killed 7 people in Seattle or wherever the hell it was a couple days ago, if you tell me that guy was high on pot, I'm calling you a liar. If you tell me he was high on meth, I go, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way it works. And then there's crime, and then there's crime.
Yeah.
So there's drugs, and there's drugs, and there's crime, and there's crime. There's murder, there's rape, and there's arson. And then there's prostitution, there's drug use, there's consensual crimes. Don't you want to march on Washington and say, hey, a-holes, here's what we're interested in, and here's what we're not interested in. No, we don't want you to stop all drugs, because there's ones we don't care about. No, we don't want you to stop all crime, because there's ones we don't care about. But there are ones that we care greatly about, namely murder, namely meth, the ones that start with M, maybe mayhem. Point is focus on the S we want you to focus on, and don't put all your time in our resources, not your resources, our resources. We're paying for all this crap.
Yeah.
Focus on the terrorists, focus on the murdering, and then in the raping, and we'll work our way down from that.
Yeah.
And I understand when we wage these wars abroad that there's, well, if, you know, if Halliburton is going to invest this much in the campaign of Bush or whatever, there's got to be a payday. I understand that math, yeah. But I don't understand the pot math. Who is contributing to the politicians that then go out and wage war on the pot, and what citizens are up in arms saying we need an end to this marijuana?
Well, the pot laws really give the law enforcement people an easy, safe criminal to go after, you know.
Right. It's a better gig.
You know, pot heads are, they never get paranoid when they need to, you know.
Yes.
They're always like months later. You
so
know.
You're basically saying, and I would do the same, yeah. If I'm a cop and I'm working in Los Angeles and somebody says, you want to go down to South Central and work with the crash unit because we're going to need you to go under deep covers, a crip. Here's a red bandana and some shoe polish. You're going under deep cover, Corolla. Or you're going to pose as a Japanese businessman and go bang some runaways with the Heidi Fleissen company. That's an easy decision, fellas. Give me some Courvoisier and a condom. Where's Fleiss living? Is she up on Mulholland? I'll meet you guys up there. No, yeah. I'll take my own ride.
I mean, I don't know where she lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I hear. I read the blotter. That's all. I'll see you guys up there.
Yeah, well, the pot people.
That's what it's better to go after the pot guy than the meth guy.
Also in jail, you know, when the jail I was in, the camp I was in, it's privately owned by some Danish company or something. Well, Wackenhut used to own it. You know,
Wackenhut.
The security company.
The world's worst mall store.
Yeah.
Wackenhut.
And they own the prisons. And what happens, then the people that work there, you know, the guards and everything else, they're like private, they're like contractors.
Right.
Okay? The pot people that are in the prison, they actually run the prison. They take care of the gardens, they take care of the grounds, they take care of, you know, I mean, they're the most intelligent, most peace-loving, and, you know, most trustworthy people in the prison.
Right.
And so the prison people, they love to get pot people in there.
That's why
it's an industry.
Now, if you want to talk about crime and violence and marijuana, if I had a guy breaking into my house at night and you gave me a choice between a guy who was high on meth, high on pot, or not high at all, I would go high on pot. I mean, people don't realize, oh, he was on drugs. These are drug users, people.
The pot guy would leave you something.
Pot guy'd be better. That's right. Listen.
Might clean out your fridge. Yes. That'd be about the worst thing you get.
Save some of that casserole for the Ace Man. I'm going to be heating that up in the microwave tomorrow. All right, we need to take a break. We're running long. Tommy Chong in studio. Lashing out against the man. Or maybe he's just my muse, so I can lash out against the man. Tommy here. Also, Oswaldo coming in to do a little loving reenactment, playing the part of Cheech in a classic Tommy Chong, Cheech and Chong bit. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Chong in studio.
Yeah.
Tommy, so much to cover. First off, tell us about the joint. You were in prison for 9 months.
It was a camp. It was like the Martha Stewart camp. You know, mm-hmm. It's called Camp Cupcake. But when I first went in, they took me through the main prison, which was in front of the place. It's called a place called Taft.
Mm-hmm.
It was where the first California oil was discovered out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then oil dried up, and so they put a prison there.
Sure.
On the grounds. And when I you know, self-surrendered, you know, they took me through the main gate and handcuffed me and walked me in. And then,
oof.
And then just, you know, I had to strip naked. And it was weird because the guards were big fans, you know.
Sure.
So I'm standing there naked. The guy, that's Chong, man.
Yeah.
You know, looking at me.
Chong's wang.
I guess having the erection didn't help either in terms of embarrassment.
No, my dick didn't come with me. It sort of stayed behind.
But, smart.
But yeah. they put you through this whole thing. You got to, like, okay, stick out your tongue.
Right.
Flip your ears.
I want to make sure you're not smuggling it.
Turn around. Bend over, squat, then squat and cough.
Wow.
It was a whole dance.
Oh, no.
All naked, terrible, too.
All
huh?
the time. And then after a while, you get so used to it, you know.
Sure.
You'd be, you know, sometimes they'd search a bunch of us together, you know, because there's so many in the visiting room. They'd put us all in one room and say, oh, you know, everybody squat down and do that.
So after you visit with somebody, before you come back into the prison population, they need to check you out.
Yep. They search you.
How? Like, couldn't they just put a nice sheet of Lexan between you and whoever they're talking to, so you don't have to do the whole squat and spread thing?
It was a camp. It was a camp, and
so you could hang out. You could sit at a picnic table with your wife.
You're at a table. At one time, when the prisoners ran the camp, they used to bring their guests into the dormitory.
A little conjugal action.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do everything, but when I was there, they were pretty strict, and they restricted the visitors had so many more rules than the inmates. Yeah.
So 9 months.
Yeah, 9 months.
Eight
months and 1 month in a halfway house.
There's a part of me that sometimes thinks whenever I hear about, I would never want to go to prison for 10 years.
No.
But a month doesn't quite sound like enough. There's a part of me that thinks 9 months, I could get something done. Yeah. I would go write a script. I would read that E.E. Cummings poetry book that gay Dave Damashek said to read in the 6 o'clock hour. I mean, is there something to it? Are you a better man for the experience?
I'm a way better man.
You are?
Yes.
Would you say...
Years off my life. Probably 10 years off my life. You know, I mean, added 10 years to my life.
It added 10 years.
Yeah, easy.
Why?
Easy.
Why?
Diet, sleep... You know,
you got a rhythm.
You got sleep. I got all the sleep I needed. The thing is, when you're in jail, if you sleep, you're doing half time.
Yeah, right.
So I would nap every chance I got.
Sure.
And that was great. In the afternoon, I
approach life the same way, by the way. I like to do half time.
Yeah.
Quarter time, if I can.
And then, but you don't get anything done. And the reason you don't is because you're constantly around somebody and you're constantly being counted.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're out for a few hours, then you got to come back to get counted wherever you're at.
Right,
to get
a lot
counted.
Of roll call.
They
don't want you. They don't want the ex comedians who are on a 9 month bong rap to tunnel out of the joint.
No. Mm-hmm. Or no, you could walk away. There's no fence.
No fence.
You could walk away. There's a little.
Oh, so the guy.
There's a chalk line. A boundary. We're all boundary trained.
There's one of those shock collars they have for the dogs?
No, and if you do walk away, they don't go after you.
Wow.
Yeah, because...
What kind of prison is this?
It's a camp. It's an industry. Like I say, if you escape, then you get 2 years added to your sentence automatically, and you're never back in that camp again. And then you spend
one hard. You don't want to screw that up.
In the hole, so it's not worth walking away.
The hole in his prison is no cable. For 12 hours.
Absolutely.
Well, basic cable, but none of the premium.
Well, that said, even
stations.
Though it sounds like a fairly soft prison, it still sounds bad. But the nobility of the fact that you went to jail because you wouldn't turn over on your son.
Yeah.
That's great. Ace. Oh, yeah. Would your old man do the same for you?
He'd sing like a canary. I've had cops show up at my dad's house just to sell tickets to the policeman's ball, and he's answered with, "What do you want to know about my son?" he's actually started to sell me out before.
I think he's got weed in his basement, and if he doesn't, you can plant some.
Yeah,
take him away.
Yeah, go by his house, search the cabinet in his master bedroom. But give me a moment. I'm going there first, and then he yells, "Honey, grab the heroin."
Difference between police and guards. Mm. Big difference.
Did you have guards?
We had guards. And we had some of the guards were, National Guard that were going over to... Iraq. In fact, one guy, that was my boss for the job that I had. Oh, by the way, I had a job.
What was your job?
Sweeping the sidewalk.
Wow.
And sweeping up cigarette butts. And they called the little scoop... saying that you got a Cadillac. So my job was driving a Cadillac.
There's a euphemism. So you were sweeping up, and there was no prison radio station
there was
no comedy. You know what I'm saying? Take a guy who on the outside did this for a living and give him a gig inside that mirrors that.
Well, they have... No, I didn't even want that. They asked me to go on the Christmas show. You know, the gay barber that worked there, he ran the Christmas show, and he'd been running it every year for like 10 years. And so they wanted me to be the surprise guest.
Sure.
And I was all for it, because I wanted to do a little, little comedy, a little something. Then I realized I'm not going home after the show. I'm staying there, So I couldn't do anything about anybody.
Right.
Without getting somebody in me in trouble,
Right.
So I just declined. But the warden showed up. Not the warden, but the camp supervisor. He showed up. In disguise. It was just funny. The camp was full of humor. I was like a dog in a boneyard. Everywhere you look, there's humor.
Very
funny. Extremely funny. And that was one of them. When the camp supervisor, they came in with a baseball cap pulled over his eyes.
And trying to supervise? Trying to get
trying
the inside
to catch
skinny?
Me. He thought I was going to go do a show.
He wanted to see you perform.
So he sat and watched all this bad Christmas show, inmates singing Christmas carols and, Born Again. And bikers singing. It was pretty.
How was the food? Rough. Was the food horrible?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible to the point where we would feed it. We would take the feed. It was all sugar and salt.
Starch. Yeah.
And starch. And we'd take it out, and there were ground squirrels out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd feed the food to the ground squirrels. And the ground squirrels would eat until they'd break almost.
Yeah, me and Jimmy.
So fat.
Me and Jimmy went to a prison once just for a day. And doing a man show bit, and they had a gravy as a side dish, a congealed green gravy that was considered sort of a vegetable or side dish, and you had to have your own fork and spoon. It was a disaster. I mean, it was one
plastic.
Of these.
Everything plastic.
Everything's plastic. Like, it's like, well, we who fly commercially know
exactly.
The same pain.
That's the same food. That's the same.
Yeah. Well, the food's a little worse on the plane. You guys didn't get the estimates, I would argue. All right. Now we're running late again. We will do this bit. Yeah. You want to do it now?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
All right. Why right now? Why don't we take a break and do it when we come back?
We have all those stuff to do.
Well, we got, let's see. Chung here, Ozzy's movie review. What else we got? We got our limericks to do. Hooters girl. I think we should do it. We'll do it at the front, and then Ozzy will do his movie review right after.
Yeah, let
How about
Chung.
That?
Chung's been in the joint. Let him be with the Hooters girls for a little while.
Yes,
you creep.
All right, we will take ourselves a break. Tommy's going to hang out. Ozzy and Tommy will recreate a classic Cheech and Chong bit. We'll do it right after this.
I say Adam, and he says
Adam.
I say Hoffman, and he says
Hoffman.
Adam,
Adam.
Hoffman,
Hoffman.
That's just how Oswaldo talks. I say racist, and he says
racist.
I say confusion, and he says
confusion.
Racist,
racist.
Confusion,
confusion.
That's just how Oswaldo talks.
Yeah. Well, there it is. If you need to know, well, that's all you need to know about the great Oswaldo. How are you, Ozzy?
Very good, man. And yourself?
Doing good. Ozzy and I have known each other for 16 years. We met while building. He worked with my buddy Ray doing earthquake rehab. Still mad at each other because Ray claims he stole his ladder. Ozzy claims Ray owes him money. So there's some bad blood there. But I picked up Ozzy 15, 16 years ago, and we built a gym together and several houses, and we've been thick as thieves ever since.
So do you want to trade for?
Do you want?
I could use an Ozzy.
You could use an Ozzy?
Yeah.
We all need an Oswaldo.
I got an old Cheech, I'll trade you.
I'll take Cheech. You take Oswaldo. Are you guys talking? Are you getting along? Is there a reunion in the plans?
Not really. Oh, no. Yeah, we are. We're talking. We're working on a play.
Really?
Called the Up and Smoke the Play.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you guys, are you guys friends? Would you call yourself friends?
Yeah, you know. I know
so you got
so
a little stick up so his,
much,
you know what?
Yeah, I know so much about him. He knows so much about me that we're kind of...
What can you do?
Yeah, we owe each other, so we have to be friends.
Anytime there's two folks who don't get along too well who are partners, I decide in my mind which one's the troublemaker. And in this case, I know it sounds self-serving, but I've decided that Cheech was the troublemaker, yeah, much like was. Dr. Drew is the problem in my old partnership.
Mm-hmm. Well, education will do that to you.
Yes. Yeah, you get an attitude. Yeah. So... As long as Cheech can't be here, we decided Ozzy should take his place. And you guys, since she has a little bit of an accent, as you might be able to tell, we should recreate the classic Cheech and Chong bit, Dave's Not Here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ozzy? And Tommy, you ready?
Yes. Okay, let's go. Who is it?
It's me, Dave. Up and out, man. I got your stuff.
Who is it?
It's Dave, man. Up and out. I think the cat saw me coming here.
Who?
It's Dave. Man, we open up. I got the stuff with me.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave.
No, this is Whisper. This is
Come
Whisper.
Come on, man.
Whisper. I see Whisper.
Open out.
Whisper,
I think
babe.
The cop
I
saw
see,
me.
Over here. Whisper. Whisper.
Dave's not here.
No, man. Hi, Dave.
Whisper. You got a whisper here.
Whisper.
Snore.
They're coming, man.
Who is it?
It's Dave, man.
Man.
Will you man open? I got the star with me.
Al Pacino? Who is it?
Oh, what the hell? Man, open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-B-E. Will you open up the damn door?
Dave?
Yeah, Dave.
Dave's not here.
Oh, classic Cheech and Chong, man. Well, there's your Cheech.
I'll take him. I'll throw in two Cheeches.
Let me tell you, he's not as funny as Cheech, but... For $14 an hour, you don't get much funnier than Oswaldo. You really don't.
That's a bargain.
And this guy will put a coat of primer on the fascia of your house and fire up the barbecue if need be.
A lot more than Cheech would do.
He is a utility man. I want to thank Tommy Chong for coming on the show. Tommy, I'll see you Thursday night.
Okay, man.
At the Playboy Mansion.
Playboy Mansion. Yeah.
And look forward to that. Always a pleasure talking to you. Come back anytime.
Thanks, man.
Ozzy has a full movie review of The Inside Man, Spike Lee's new joint. We'll talk to him after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Well, plenty more show to go. the Hoosie's girls. The Hooters. I think I took Floozy and Hooters and Ozzy and turned it into one word. Hoosie girls. The Hoosies. The Hooter girls are here. We're going to have some fun with them. Oswaldo is here. Oswaldo likes women. He likes wings. What's not to like about the Hooters girls? Yes, Ozzy?
I'm married, man.
You're married. I know. But you're...
I'm not tied.
Yes. Yes. But your mistress is cheating. I told my wife that. Some guys have the C is their mistress. My wife knows infidelity is my mistress. And that opens it up. Instead of picking one mistress,
right,
pick a genre.
It, right.
Yeah.
Keeps the ball rolling in perpetuity. Right.
Yes. Your mistress may be, you know, the C or space exploration. Mine is infidelity.
Yeah. You don't want to get tied into the Shelley secretary who you're making time with. Right.
I'm a literalist. My mistresses are my, that's my mistresses. That's my mistresses, like that. Mistresses in general.
Good planning.
Thank you. Sounds redundant, but it's smart. Ozzy's going to do a movie review for us of Inside Man, Spike Lee's new joint, Inside Man. You saw that, Ozzy?
Yeah, I see yesterday, man.
You see? You feel confident?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, a story that we broke in the 6 o'clock hour.
Dave. Yeah, it's about this filmmaker, Parvez Sharma. He's a gay Muslim.
Right.
And he's got a new documentary that's considered scandalous in the Muslim world. It's called In the Name of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's all about, you know, the problem of homosexuality in the Muslim world and how that those two things conflict.
Yeah, and they don't like it over there. They're not open to that stuff, shockingly. Right.
They hate it worse than Dick Cheney.
Right. And I would say that sometimes when people protest too much, maybe they're thinking about it themselves. Maybe
exactly,
there's a part of them that's a little insecure. As a matter of fact,
I
cited a study in the 6 o'clock hour where they hooked tumescence monitors up to men. Tumescence monitors are essentially a cigar band that goes around your ding-a-ling and monitors the blood that goes into it. We have Brusca hooked up to one right now. He's between morning wood and leather,
still.
Which is leather, still holding, holding steady. Leather's a midway point, and then of course there's, you know, flaccid leather's in the middle, and then there's, you know, there's
the Hooters girls in the back. So now I have a full Woody. Right?
Oh, okay. Oh,
no, I'm all man, says Brusca.
Just checking my data. It's true.
So says the chubby lesbian.
It was more of a tease of what's coming up, and not so much of me being
a chubby or I'm a lesbian.
All right,
mind your own business.
The point is he's enthusiastic about his morning wood. Wood, right?
I didn't get it ready.
Oh, okay. That's going to take a minute to get this.
But your point is that the tumescence machine went hooked up to very often the greatest homophobes, the most overt homophobes.
Right. Guys are out gay bashing. Now, gay bashing all day. Turns out when they show them gay erotica hooked up to the tumescence monitor, well, it registers off the charts. So I wonder if some of these terrorists, you know, putting women in sheets, hanging around with their chums all day long, firing guns up into the air. Maybe there's a little more homoerotic activity in that community than we thought. And we went and listened to one of the speeches that we heard from Al-Qaeda's number three man, guy from Yemen. We pulled it off CNN. And if you just listen to the audio, forget about the video part, the guy stumping their chest, but just listen to the audio, I think you'll hear some gay overtones. Let's check that out.
American infidels. You send your men to rape our land. This is our justice that will be sent down upon you. You will kneel down before us and have the sword of Muhammad thrust into you over and over again. We will drive you from our lands. We will blow you like a sandstorm blows a rigid palm. What is funny?
I think the cameraman's laughing.
Nasir, you may fortify your borders, but you cannot escape the hand of Allah. With one hand, he will come from behind and reach around to drain the essence of the infidel.
See, when you just hear the audio.
You will feel the true fist of Allah. He will... What is funny? What the goddamn for you? What are you laughing? Yes, we will not stop until the tip of Allah's sword is revealed and you feel the full release of his raging hot rain upon your backs.
Al-Qaeda. Yeah, when you just break down the audio, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all the, you know, the sword, the saber rattling, and the guys looking very ominous with the beards
subtle.
And everything. It was subtle.
But I did detect it.
Yeah, I did a little bit, right?
Yep.
All right.
Tumescence machine off the charts.
Powerful point you bring up, Damashek. All right. Where's Bruska and his enthusiasm towards his
work? It's a great show. A lot of fun.
That's great. He's a fan, too. He's not only the producer, he's a fan, everybody. All right, now, Oswaldo.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Ozzy?
Hi.
Hi, you ready to go?
Yep.
All right, the movie you will be doing?
Inside Man.
Inside Man. Here we go.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie I saw, Inside Man.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Washington is Detective Cake Frazier.
Detective Cake Froster?
Frazier.
he's a baker? What's his name?
Kay Frazier.
Kay Frazier.
Frazier.
Kay, and now it says here Keith.
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 Okay, let's keep moving. So it's Keith Frazier.
Keith Frazier.
Okay. I thought it was Cake Froster.
Olive Owen.
That was my poor name.
It's Dalton Russell.
Who?
Olive Owen. It's Dalton Russell.
Olive Owen?
What?
Who?
Olive.
Clive?
Olive.
Clive?
Clive.
Okay.
Clive Owen.
Clive?
Clive Owen.
All right.
Is Dalton Russell.
Russell, yes.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie. Have you heard of Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster is Madeline White.
All right.
This film is about one financial institution in Wall Street branch.
Wall.
For four guys that are associates.
Four associates, yes.
It's a fantastic film because it's an assault with AK-47.
Mm-hmm.
These people kill it. And the full tension and suspense for the New York Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, you appreciate the noble charisma.
Charisma.
To the bank robber with the hostage.
With the what?
The hostage.
The hostages.
The hostage.
The charisma.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody dead.
Nobody died.
Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
No bad guy is hurt. Police show nervous and suspense.
Mm-hmm.
When the guy take the loot, and the final wall over 1 week period.
Over the what wall?
1 week period.
1 week period. But what period. Do you do with the loot?
They take a look inside in the false wall, you know. It's taking, you know, the movie Inside Man.
Ah, he taking the loot inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen this movie, and I want to. Thank goodness I have no idea what he's saying so that it's not ruining the plot.
Yes. I still don't know who's in it. Cake Froster starring it, as far as I know. Yes.
Only
and,
diamond.
Olive Owen.
Only diamond, no money.
Who, what?
Only diamond.
No money, just the diamonds.
Only diamond, yeah.
Yeah.
They have a security box. The owner with the name Arthur Case has the secret inside the box, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The box number 262.
Aha. Uh-huh.
My best part is when Russell.
Russell.
Russell get out of the far wall and almost out to the closet, you know, descending, you know, the gay guy, you know, out to the closet.
Mm-hmm.
He walk out, you know, to the branch. In same time, the police come in.
Mm-hmm.
And he collide the body, you know, with the police guy, you know, the Frazier guy.
All right, so what I gather is Cake Froster is gay. And he's leaving the closet, literally stepping out of the closet right as the cops are rushing in and he collides with them.
Yeah, this is the thinker.
Okay, all right.
They put a little rug, you know, in the package, and the rug is diamond.
He put a diamond rug in his package.
And his Frazier, you know, accept the diamond only for the future wife.
Mm-hmm.
Inside Man left the reviewer cold.
Wow, left you cold. Seemed like you liked it at first, but then at the end, it left you cold.
Colder than that diamond.
Cold.
Ice.
Cold, extra cold.
Hey, Bruska, IMDb Cake Froster. Let's see what else he's done. See if we can get him on the show. We'll book him for this week. See what else he's got coming up. Ozzy, nice job, my friend.
Thank you.
I think
man.
He's got a show on the Food Network.
As per usual. Yeah. I think he's starring with Rachel Ray. All right. We will take ourselves a break. The Hooters girls are here. They're going to be doing limericks with us. We're going to be doing some limericks, too. We're doing the news. Well, I'm trying to think. We'll do the news. We'll do the sports.
They have some limericks about you, but if you want, we can write some as well.
Yeah, why don't we do that? We'll do the news, we'll do the sports, and we'll do a little limerick challenge after that. All right, coming up.
This is Howie Mandel. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. I don't know why. He just told me to tell you to call him now. What am I, his receptionist?
866-901-ADAM is the phone number. News coming up. Sports coming up. Also, more Limerick Wars coming up. First, Rebecca and Natalie, both Hooters girls.
Hi,
in
Adam.
Studio.
Hi.
Nice
Foxes.
To see you.
Forget about the Hooter business.
Foxy Blonde, Foxy Redhead, thank you for coming in. You gave us the Hooters, at least, gave us that very expensive punching bag. Punching machine measures your punching power. So far, I got the lead. But we will keep you all posted. We appreciate you hanging out and hanging in with us. I know you've been around for an hour or so waiting to come on. You're going to do some limericks with us.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You're working on ones for me.
We're working really hard on them, yeah.
Yeah. One, if you're not finished, one you may want to weave into your insulting limerick is, not that it's not obvious, but I got a haircut yesterday. And you know you're getting old, by the way. The woman asked when I was done, you want me to do a little trim on the brow? And I thought, wow, that is, I was staring in the mirror and I saw my grandfather's face right there.
How
and
did you answer?
You know what? I said, Dad, yeah, what the hell? Yeah, give it a shot. And she did. It kind of felt nice, although it was humiliating.
Be very careful with that. Be very careful. You start getting too plucked and shaved up there.
Yeah, yeah. You start looking like an ice dancer. You know, the guys. There's nothing creepier. Gay guys is one thing. The straight guys who do the crazy brow where they look like Agnes Moorehead. I did try this one once. I went into the salon and told them just do the right brow, so I looked interested when my wife's talking. That way I don't really have to pay attention, but yet I can always look like I'm thinking about what she's saying.
Aww.
Yeah, thank you.
Clever.
Yes. And as you heard earlier, as some guys have the C as their mistress, for me it's mistresses.
Wow.
So, you know, you guys, you know.
Couple candidates sit before you.
Yeah. Mistresses are
choose from
mistresses.
A flaxen-haired beauty and from a fiery redhead.
That's right. All right. So you guys will hang out. You'll do the limericks with us. But first, it is time for Angie sitting in for Rachel Perry doing the news.
This news just came in. Casper Weinberger, who was the defense secretary under President Reagan, died earlier this morning. He was 88 years old.
Oh, my. That's really sad. I mean, I don't know. I think he should be remembered as a world statesman, as a great American patriot.
I agree. I mean, what he did with Reagan, like, really brought down the Soviet Union.
I know.
You guys are big Casper Weinberger fans?
Oh, God. Yeah. Huge. Are you kidding me? Years.
Wow. You seem young and...
Oh, my God.
We talk about it all the time at Hooters.
Oh, you got other girls on the staff over there? Big Casper Weinberg?
We all are.
Well, there's like five of us that are really big on
it. Yeah, I mean, that's those really conservative politics, but I'm sure there's some liberal ladies over there, too.
Sure, you know. But I don't know. I'm kind of upset. I don't even know if we should go on the show.
Well, we have another hour to do, and then we'll wrap it up.
Is that really appropriate? I mean,
after this.
Well, I just want to say this. I know you and the rest of the Hooters girls are pretty big Weinberger fans, but to a lot of our listeners, he's just some old guy from the past.
Really?
Like, well, I know I'm not trying to insult you or your politics. I know.
I didn't know it was a kind of a show. I mean, that's really strange.
No, I don't mean an old guy, like a bad guy. I just mean you guys worship the ground Casper Weinberger walks on, obviously.
Yeah.
you know, lockets and posters up in the kitchen of the Hooters. I'm just saying not everybody is as big a fan as you are. And for right. them, I think we should continue. No, no. I think Casper would want us to finish the show.
Just push through.
I guess so. Yeah.
Adam, do not get into some political discourse.
Right, no, you're no. Your I'll be crushed.
It's too early
crushed.
For that right now. Yes. And I'm a little upset after
okay.
about that.
I'll tell you what. Let's just... Again, let's just try to rein it in.
Okay.
We're all feeling this pain right now. We'll get through with the news.
Casper okay? would want us to go.
Right.
Okay, we'll try.
All right. Okay.
We'll do it for Casper.
Thank you guys for being very brave.
Thank you.
For being very courageous. Sorry.
It's all right. Go ahead, Andrew.
Two teams of government investigators used fake documents and were able to enter the United States with enough radioactive sources to make two dirty bombs.
That's right. But Chong is in the hole.
Justice?
Yes.
None.
That's right. That's right.
They were able to get through the Canadian border as well as the Mexican border.
Yeah, you know what happened is the equipment that detects the radioactive materials went off and worked, and so they just showed some fake document from Kinko's and they sent them on their way.
Marvelous.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And an official announcement was made early this morning that White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card has resigned and he's going to be replaced.
All right, now hold on, ladies.
I don't want to
send you to a tailspin. I don't want to turn this into face the nation. Please bite your tongue and let us move through. I know you have many thoughts on this. Okay, thank you.
Okay. And he's going to be replaced by Budget Director Josh Bolton.
Save it for Bill O'Reilly.
Yes, I know fans of the Bolton there.
And Jennifer Aniston was on The Insider last night. She was talking about how she didn't watch TV, loves her job, but hates everything that goes along with it, and how she is not a victim. And this is what she had to say about that.
You don't want it to ever come off like you don't appreciate people's concerns, but it's just not, it's just, there's no need. You know, it's a long time past.
Here's
I never was a victim of any of it, so I don't like the word. And I don't
what's
like
with
sort
the,
of being
what's with the tech music?
That way, the way things are twisted.
All right, here, she had a rave or something? What's going on? Here's the thing. How much press can you do saying you don't like doing press?
Yeah, stop talking about it.
Shut up. You don't want to talk to people? Don't talk to
disappear,
people.
Disappear then.
Yes. And I hate watching people on TV announce they don't watch TV. I feel so small. I feel so weak. I can't stand it. Just shut up. You don't want to talk? Good, don't talk. Let me give you a demonstration, Jennifer, if you're listening. Let me give you an example of not talking. Ready? There you go. That's the sound of silence. Now
that,
shut up.
You hate your picture being taken all the time? Then stop showing up at the photo shoots for Cosmo and whatever other magazines you adorn on the cover each week, each year.
Yes, that's right. Put something on and stay home. That's all. That's all. And look, I've said it many times, you know, when Lindsay Lohan starts complaining about the press and the paparazzi, can I just be left alone? Jodie Foster, who recently came out of her lesbian cave to shoot this movie, Inside Man, is one of the biggest stars on the planet. 10 years ago is never seen anywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't see photographs of her and her adopted kids. You don't see her walking the red carpet. There's no Cosmo spreads where the text is her wanting to be left alone by the media. If you want to drop out, you can drop out. It's easily done. Stop doing interviews explaining you're going to drop out. Just drop out.
Hey, last time I looked at a Cosmo cover, I didn't see Casper Weinberger's face on it. Am I right, ladies?
Okay.
He had a little something called glass.
I'm sorry.
The wound was just right. healing. You pulled the scab right off. I'm sorry. Continue.
Now I'm sad again.
Sorry. Okay, Mike. That really. I don't even know if these guys are going to be able to make it into the Hooters in Sherman Oaks today. Or wherever you... Where are you guys working?
Hollywood
Hooters. You may call. You may take the rest of the day off. Go ahead.
Tommy Lee has a pretty serious foot fetish. Apparently, it's because of his mother.
No.
His mom had gorgeous feet.
I thought you were talking about his penis that was a foot.
No, he said that his mother...
Inches. Thank you.
His mother had gorgeous feet and beautiful toes, and one of the main reasons he has a fetish is because when he was a kid, he used to massage her feet for her.
Yes.
Which is disgusting, isn't it?
That's really weird.
Yes, I have a boob fetish because my mom was saggy. I spent my time down there, but it wasn't her feet.
Boobies!
They were covered. Yeah, that's what they say. Dr. Drew always used to say that. The foot fetish. The guys, you know, when you're little, you're crawling around on the kitchen floor and you're just staring at mom's tootsies. Weird. I don't trust those guys.
So you don't trust Tommy Lee?
No. The more you know. Thank you. But the world is your oyster if you're into feet. All you got to do is go to the beach and see all the bare feet you want. Go to some grape stomping competition.
I am the opposite of this. I hereby decree that all men, listen, women... good-looking women wear your sandals and such, and your open-toed shoes. They can, you know, those look nice on a lady. But even ugly ladies with big ugly feet, and definitely all men. Hear my words.
Yes.
Cover your feet up when you go into public. Yes. I don't want to look at those hairy, disgusting things.
Nothing fruitier than a sandal. That's right.
I love men in flip-flops.
Oh, stop it. It's disgusting. And stay out of the restaurants, for goodness sake.
I like men in flip-flops. Yes.
Yeah. Ruin my appetite.
The socks with the flip-flops.
Oh, yeah. That's really worse than flip-flops.
I never even get below the knees when I'm looking at a woman. I mean, the feet just there to hold up the boobs.
That's all.
It's a pedestal. That's right. All right. But by the way, Kimmel is one of the leading sandal men we know, and I don't hear you complaining when we're over at his house on Sundays.
Well, he's making pizzas and rings.
All right.
And 2 years ago, a woman kidnapped her two children from their father in Arizona and took them to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. When she got there, she decided that she was going to change her appearance to look just like the father and stole his identities. So for the last 2 years, she's lived as a man, and the kids believe that she was their father.
I know. I married her. I mean him. I mean it. That's right. Raise a child as my own. Yeah. Well, that's weird.
Well, and it wasn't until a bill collector tracked her down that they figured it out. And when the police came to arrest her, the kids asked why they were arresting their daddy.
They're going to be screwed up worse than Tommy Lee.
Yeah, they've been. Their real father came and took them. So.
No, that'll do it.
I'm Angie, and that's your news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
It is Final Four week, included among the foursome. Perhaps the most storied team in college basketball history.
That's Rebecca's just overwhelmed.
Still with the Weinberg.
Well, I think he liked college hoops.
Oh, I see.
Sweetie, I know it's tough, but can we just push forward here?
I don't know.
Be strong.
All right.
Rusko, why don't you give her a hug?
I'm really sorry.
Now that'll just upset her more.
It's been a rough morning, you know, hearing about all the news. It's just hard, you know, when you love someone that much.
No, I know. You idolized the man.
I did. And hearing you talk about him like this, it's really...
Well, focus, you know, I'll tell you what you should do. Something constructive. Start working on the eulogy. I'm sure they're going to want you to speak in the rotunda.
I have already. As I was working on the limericks, I was also doing that.
Weinberger's eulogy. Yeah. Wow.
Let me try to ease your pain with some whimsical talk of sports.
Okay.
Let me be the Jay Johnstone of the Clown Prince of Baseball. Another one of your favorites, I'm sure. Now, UCLA, as I mentioned, Final Four. They'll be playing LSU. Florida and George Mason is still in the Final Four. The question everyone is asking, can they do it? The answer is no. 6 days from baseball's opening day, so I should talk about that a little bit, but instead, I'm looking forward to a little something called the NFL. Mm. Yes, I'll use any excuse to talk football. But this is very good news.
Well, let me say this. Let me jump in for 1 second.
Please.
Before you begin a season that is 162, 63 games.
Baseball.
A season, yes, that is closer to 200 games than it is to 100. Mm-hmm. How does that locker room speech go before you guys hit the field?
No mind.
Or do you even bother saying anything? Look, fellas, it'd be nice if we win an opening day, but if we lose the first 25, we're still fine.
Listen,
we'll be 500 by the All Star break.
Go into hibernation,
please,
throughout the summer, and on the other side, you will find NFL
football starts
awaiting you.
Thank you.
The NFL has released a sneak preview of the 2006 schedule. Just a few morsels to whet the appetite. The big season kickoff on Thursday. It'll be the Miami Dolphins and their brand new QB Dante Culpepper traveling 2,000 miles to the north. To the very point where the Allegheny converges with the Monongahela to form the Ohio, and where one can now find Super Bowl crowns stacked in a row atop the silver head of Dan Rooney.
Isn't it Rooney?
Please.
Not the guy.
September 7th.
Yes.
If you don't know by now, I'm speaking of the team that once and now again rules the football world, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
I'm
yes,
sure it'll Steelers. Be sometime in the Heinz Field that day. Let me tell you something, by the way. Dan Rooney, is there some sort of dropping of a banner? Will rings be handed out on the field? No. Why?
Owner Dan Rooney says, we already gave them rings, and we have a trophy for winning that game. We don't do things like that.
They don't live in the past.
No.
They look forward to this season, one game at a time.
That is why they are the champions. By the way, nobody from the organization has contacted me yet for my ring size.
Yeah.
It's not about that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Then, on the first Sunday night of the season, it's Peyton Manning and his Colts in New York to play Eli Manning and the Giants. Brothers in arms. Ooh la la. Now, one more NFL story for you. Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Donnie Jones, charged with a misdemeanor to failure to obey a lawful command after he allegedly refused to stop dancing outside a South Beach club early day. Now, there's a story going around that the NFL may ban end zone dances, but Donnie Jones still dancing around in the streets of Miami Beach, which, ironically and coincidentally, I was arrested for.
I'll tell you, the terrorists have officially won. Was it John Lithgow who arrested him? This is really it's torn from the pages of
Lithgow.
Torn from the pages of Footloose. when a black man can't dance out front of a disco in Florida, I say it's time to move to Canada.
Yes, Dahani Jones out there. Everybody cut. Bana. Yeah,
that's right. So sad.
Donovan McNabb was there. Yeah, all the fellas.
Yes, all
there.
The brothers from Footloose.
There we go.
Talk about it. Do you think one black person ever saw the movie Footloose? One.
Ladies?
No, probably not.
Let me ask you this, ladies. Scarface had no black people in it. Right. Footloose had no black people in it. Which movie do you think the brothers saw more?
That's a tough one.
Don't answer. I know you're still upset about Casper's passing.
And quickly, Red Wings forward, legendary player, Stevie Yzerman scored his 690th career goal, tying him on the all-time list for eighth. Monumental moment for the great Stevie Y. But this guy's got some class.
Because
he took a little time to pay tribute to the man he tied, a man named Mario Lemieux. Here he is.
I don't really know the significance of it. If anything, shows how good he was, because he played probably 4 or 5 years less than I did, and far fewer games, so... That's quite an achievement, more so by him than anything I've done.
Gretzky's a woman. Yzerman's got class. How say you, Fish Tank?
I don't know much about Lemieux. Where did he play his professional hockey?
He was a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Oh, from Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Oh.
Now owns the club.
Oh, only eighth. Only got up to eighth.
Well, he had a little problem with something called cancer that felled him a little too early in his career.
Excuses are like a-holes. We all have one, and they all stink.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
If you want to, you know, use the flimsy cancer excuse as to why you're not playing up to par, well, go ahead.
Stevie Y and I know the truth. You and Gretzky can take a gay cruise together.
Thank you.
You told me.
Done and done. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. We're going to do our Limerick Wars when we come back. I will be the topic or the subject of today's Limerick. We have Rebecca and Natalie. If you guys could pull it together.
I am trying.
For Casper Weinberger and do a limerick. Compose a limerick for yours truly. It would be awesome. All right, we'll be back.
This is James Lights Out Tony, heavyweight champion of the world. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. It's a chump.
All right. We got a little more time left in the show. We've been doing our Limerick Wars ever since we got on to it for St. Paddy's Day last Friday. Decided to keep it going. Was it just last Friday, or
was it the Friday before?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Time flies when you're barely awake.
A pall has been cast on the show, at least for the Hooters girls, because of the death of former Secretary of Defense, Casper Weinberger.
Please, that's really...
Well, I mean, to be fair, Dave and I don't want to call ourselves intellectual lightweights, but it's mostly about sports, and, you know, we limit our conversations to talk about Point Break and Roadhouse and things like that. We don't read the Christian Science Monitor,
all the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't read this kind of stuff, and we're not huge. We don't follow politics like the Hooters girls do. But since we found out that Casper Weinberger, former Secretary of State under Reagan, passed just moments ago, just recently, I guess it's again been a little bit Don't
it's
cry.
It's been a rough morning.
It's been a little bit to deal with. But let's push forward. Rebecca and Natalie both here, both Hooters girls. And we decided just to pick me as the subject of today's insulting limerick. So you guys have done one as well. A lot to get through. Let's just start with Mike. Mike, you want to get us started?
Yep.
I will try to grade these.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you about my boss man named Ace. He's got a unibrow on top of his face. And right above there, he's got Brillo for hair. His appearance is an utter disgrace.
Solid. Solid. Focused on the physical quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to see a little more range in that. But solid and well delivered. Let's see. Sheck, would you like to go next?
Sure, although I think off of your comment there, I don't know that you'll be that pleased with mine because I didn't delve that deeply into your soul.
Okay. Thank you, by the way.
Adam's got an afro as though he were black, but compared to the brothers is where his penis really lacks.
Mm.
He's got a unibrow perched over his eyes, and he complains about everything under the sky. Bottom line is the Hooters girl still would be more likely to offer Casper Weinberger their vaginal cracks.
Mm.
Wow.
A stutter there.
Stutter, a hiccup. Wow. They're
a little long, but I wanted to get the Casper Weinberger.
There were some plurals and some singulars being rhymed. Not your usual stellar work, but again, almost too ambitious, trying to get too much in.
Timeliness was my goal.
Right. Not achieved, but it certainly was your goal. All right. Who's next? Big Tad?
Yeah.
Feeling good?
Feeling good. I have a boss named Corolla. He is bigger than Iran's Ayatollah. He's the greatest boss in town. He makes you smile when you're down. If I wasn't working for him, I would rather have the Ebola.
Wow. Nice.
You understand that you're not
supposed to... insulting.
Yeah, you're not supposed to kiss his ass, Tad.
I get a paycheck every 2 weeks, so shut up.
He went the suck-up route. I like that. gay board op, pre-op, board op, Bill?
Sure. There once was a Corolla named Adam, whose eyebrow looked like the mustache of Saddam. He won't look you in the eye no matter how hard you try, and I'm too much of a pussy to really slam him.
Wow, all right, starting it. Really, I haven't looked in the eye. I'm scared I'll get hepatitis C. I don't know the gays. I don't have gay friends. I don't know how it works. Do you guys squirt something?
The hepatitis I,
ironically, yes. All right, Bill. Really, I don't look you in the eye, huh?
No, the first couple of weeks, you sort of like, and when you would, it was sort of like the way my cat looks at an insect it's about to kill.
Wow.
It was sort of that sort of measuring, sizing me up for
right.
some sort
Well, other
of...
people here sort of know me, but we've never met. But are you okay with me otherwise?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, now it's, we're back, yeah, we're at, we're, I'm almost... I almost feel like I'm your friend.
Thick as thieves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thin.
Right, nice.
Why don't you two get together this
nice
weekend?
Job. Sure. We'll have a smart cocktail. Take a me day. We'll just dish the dirt on Brusca. A
little cannibalism.
Yeah. Fry up my penis.
Can't talk about Brusca. You know, the gay men know a ton about the lesbian community.
So yeah. All right. So a dish. If we're going to eat my penis, though, we should also bring some kookaroo or something, too. Well, it's not going to be enough for the two of us.
My father always said the sweetest meat is nearest the bone. So
yeah. Maybe that explains how you turned out. All right. Nice job. I can't even remember if that was good or not. Who's next here? Should we have one of the girls, Rebecca?
Oh, okay. Well, we each have one, so we worked really hard on these.
Do them at the same time.
Okay.
Overlap them.
Yeah. No.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
There once was a guy from the Man Show who needed to make some more dough. Now he makes people yawn at the crack of dawn, rather put them to sleep with the Late Show.
Zing. Zing. I like that. That's all yours, huh?
Oh, yeah. We worked on them in the green room.
I see. It's nice. You got a little head start, but still nice.
And then you worked on each other.
If that's where we're going to go with this. First, we have to talk about
Casper,
and then we have to go into lesbianism.
All right, let's do phone screener Brian before we get into Natalie. Go ahead, phone screener Brian.
All right, let's do this. Adam likes to have his ass kissed. When Tad forgets his water, he gets pissed. His hair is made of Brillo, his giant teeth are yellow, and man, I hope I don't get fired for this.
Wow. Good, giant yellow teeth. You guys missed the boat on that one. You're fired, but you got a 9.9 on that. So take that momentum to your next gig, yeah. Okay, that was a nice job. Now, who's left? We have Brusca, right? Natalie?
Angie,
why don't you go?
Okay. Adam is the guy who's the boss. His eyebrows look like pond moss.
He hates Brusco a lot. He's going to Playboy to pimp pot. If he fired Dave, it wouldn't be a loss.
Wow.
What in the hell?
Dave in there. Nice.
I never got to do one on you.
Okay.
Creep.
That's nice. Solid. Brusca, how say you?
All right. Adam needs a kick in the balls right about now. This lazy ass has the work ethic of a cow. His nickname is Ace. He's a major head case. And his two twins will have to share just one eyebrow. And how?
Wow. And as Brusca's trademark, signature style is doing a little extra, little tack on, little something for the trip. Wow, that's nice. I got to tell you. It is close. There's
still have one more.
Yeah, not too many nines, but a lot of people in the eights here somewhere. All right, go ahead, Natalie.
There once was a guy named Ace who made our little hearts race with a smile so cute. God, if only he were mute, he'd have all the Hooter girls at his place.
Wow. Just shut up. Powerful stuff.
Yes.
Well, all right. I'm going to tally up the votes here. All right, here's how we're going to go. Mike, nice job, 8.1. Good, but I expect that out of you. Sheck, a little hiccup, a little stumble, maybe not your best day, 7.4.
I feel like Sasha Cohen. I fell. I was the favorite, right. And I fell right on the ice.
Right. Tad, 8.0, nice job. Did a good job on that. Bill, board up Bill, 7.9, nice job. Let's see, Rebecca, 8.2. Nice. You had a little head start, but nice job considering what's happened to your hero, Casper Weinberger, under the circumstances. Brave. Brian, 8.7. Stellar work. Very insulting. Angie, nice work, 8.5.
Thank you.
Brusca, 8.5. You guys tied. You guys both solid work. But I'm going to give it to Natalie.
All right.
8.8. I like the idea that I could get laid if I would just shut up, which has been a long-standing theory of mine, but I've never actually tried it for more than 4 seconds. Nice job.
Score one for the Hooter girls.
All right.
Beautiful on the outside, evil on the inside.
Yes.
You know, I see through the glass, I see my arch nemesis, Frank, of the Frosty Heidi and Frank show.
Well, you guys have had your differences. So far, settled on the air, but this time we're going to settle it on the air.
Right.
No,
well,
what
listen.
I'm saying is you've heard some talk about you on their shows.
I've
correct?
Taken those shots, but I've been attacked brutally again and again and again. And, you know, I think that it would be a nice thing if Adam, you would arbitrate it. You know, last week you got into a nasty scrum with the chubby lesbian Brusca. So you couldn't, you know, you were one of the participants. Now,
right.
take a distance, be
right.
a judge.
All right.
And rule on this.
So we'll bring Frank in from Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, and take him to task on some of the things he said about you on his
program. But this is an objective court. This isn't a place where you mean to attack him and have everyone know.
I will be fair, and then I'll fire both of you.
All right,
I want to
do that.
Yeah, I think at least. Well, we'll start with you. I want to thank Rebecca and Natalie, the Hooters girls, for coming in, and
Thanks,
under the circumstances, great job. Thanks to
quickly. Who's better looking, Dave or Adam? Quickly.
Oh, Dave.
Oh,
sorry.
Nice. All right. Who was that? Both of you?
That was just me.
How about you, Ray?
Yes, Dave.
Wow. All right.
Ooh la la. Double header.
Wow.
All right. Me and Dave, quickly.
Dave's. What is this game?
Please. All right.
Ladies, we'll go out. We'll have some wings and beer and reminisce about the great Casper Weinberger.
We work there, though. Why would we want to do that?
Okay. All right. Well, love affair's now over.
I blew it.
Yeah. After 10 hours of straight Steeler talk, we'll see how amorous they feel. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
How say you?
I say it's a fine day here in Claremont downtown in front of the Summercrust Bakery.
How say you?
How say I?
How say you?
How say I?
I say yay.
Okay.
How say you?
How say I? How say I?
I say yay.
I don't say much.
How say you?
I say that I am fine. My name is Daniel, and what's up?
No. How say you?
How say I?
Like, I say yay.
I say yay, yo. Boop, boop.
How say you?
Fish tank says bloop, 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 bloop.
Sound like a Damashek reference there on a how say you. That Jerron's audio sounded kind of crappy on that. That's how I say. Frank Kramer's here from Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Frank does the show immediately after ours.
I don't know how you guys do it. Getting up this early.
It's brutal. What time, just to anger me, what time do you have to get up in the morning?
I get up in about 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
This is totally not even up my yet. Body clock.
Wow.
It's screwing me up.
Well, you have to take a nap today. We have Frank on because there's been a little debate. There's been a little war of words between he
discord.
And Dave Damashek. A little discord. Frank does a impersonation or an imitation of Dave on his show, which comes on after our show. How say you is one of the things he says. So can we hear a little taste of that first?
It's a horrible impersonation.
It doesn't matter. It'll be funny.
I'm not an impersonator guy. Here we go. Ace, look at me. I'm funny. Please, I love you. Pay attention. Over here. How say you? How say me? Say you, say me.
That's funny. But I mean, it doesn't
Jackson,
sound
I'm
like
McCartney.
Him, but it's good. Yeah. Now,
it
now,
does capture
Dave,
my essence.
Dave has a very thin skin because I believe he, you know, his mom nursed him until he was well into his teens.
So?
He can't stand out. Now, here's what I told him, and I understand Frosty, Hyde, and Frank have been on the air here and in elsewhere in other markets we're in for, but starting here in Los Angeles for
yes.
what, 6 years?
Coming up on 6 years, yeah.
And did you guys want to do the morning show?
No, actually, I like getting up at 10 o'clock.
Right.
Did mornings before.
Right.
And I guess our name was in the hat.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
They discussed us as far as doing mornings, and it was brought up like the big meeting
right.
with like Joel Hollander and Jack Silver was like, you know, well, we could always put Frosty, Heidi, and Frank in there
right.
to do mornings. And he said, Jack, there's no such thing as a bad idea, but that's a terrible idea.
Oh, really?
And I'm
not sucking up, but I enjoy your show.
I listen to it
quite consistently, and I probably have over the last, well, since you've been on. I like listening to talk radio.
How dare you!
I enjoy their program.
Fine, but the matter at hand is his vicious and unwarranted attacks upon me.
Here's what I'm saying, as I've explained to Dave, because people, you know, say to me quite a bit too, did you hear what this guy was saying about you? Did you hear what that guy was saying about you? And I said, look, first off, it's not entertaining to say you're a big fan of so-and-so. Also, it's more interesting and more potentially funny to say you hate this guy or use pejoratives or go ahead and do an impersonation of. And then secondly, there's also an element of, I have this theory that all carpenters hate carpenters and all doctors hate other doctors and all radio personalities hate all other radio personalities. Maybe more true in the radio business than in any other business. I don't know another morning show that likes another morning show or another afternoon drive guy who's not PO'd at his morning team and doesn't want to be the morning gig on his station. So I think there's a lot of, in general, bad blood in the radio world, but maybe it's just a lot of smoke and mirrors.
So be it,
yes.
If that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Why the attacks on my head?
Why the attack,
Frank? Why not attack Corolla?
Yes.
The abrasive one. Why not attack Perry? Why not the chubby lesbian Brusca? Why Damashek is your target?
I like them. I find them extremely entertaining.
Really?
The only time.
You did say the station overpaid for a Corolla one time. So you did take a shot at Adam.
Oh, I did take a shot at Adam, didn't I?
Let's make it.
All right. Yeah,
so I did hear to the grapevine how much they paid him, and I was like, I was appalled.
I look at that as a compliment, though.
Yeah.
I would really, I know it sounds like I'm just burying the hatchet here, but I would rather hear somebody was appalled at how much I was getting paid than thought, wow, they got away cheap.
I was more pissed at my agent than at Adam. I was like, obviously
Thank
he has
you.
A better agent
no,
than I
No, I know
did.
It suggests that my talent doesn't warrant it, but I don't care who's the joke on. The joke's on the man, not on the ace man. All right, so you're a fan of mine, but not for the kind of money I'm getting paid.
No, I'm actually a fan of yours. I think you're a very talented guy.
Ah,
you can
okay.
riff on anything I like. I think the best interview you did so far on this station was with the mayor of Calabasas.
Yes, that puss.
Loved that.
Thank you.
And I think that Dave's the anchor around your neck.
Yeah, he's slowing me down.
Why
He's slowing you down.
How so?
I noticed that whenever you talk, I change the channel.
Wow.
Whenever I hear the sports theme, I change the channel.
I've heard that a lot, actually.
This will not soon be forgotten. And you really, you're serious about it. This isn't just bad radio.
Initially, I didn't really want to come on and do this because I thought it might get heated and raw. And the last time I actually did this, the radio personality was fired. And
really?
I don't want to get anybody fired. Remember Sam Rubin?
Yes.
I don't think you can do that.
The horribly untalented and ugly.
Right. Yeah. Sam Rubin. He got fired because of your criticism?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
It was at the think tank. We had everybody in the same room, and I said that he was, you know, no talent, his show sucked, and he shouldn't even be on radio. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he gets fired, and I got his hour, and I got his money.
Wow.
And I didn't want to do that.
Right.
So, and I told Bruska, I said...
So you'll be doing the sports tomorrow.
Well, no, I don't want Dave's job by any means. And I told you, I said, I don't know if I'm going to go on there because I got a guy fired last time. And you said, good, perfect, go on.
Right.
Bruska, right. I think, wants Dave to get
trying
fired.
To stir it up.
Because I really don't have the problem. Like you said, I was just throwing some gentle ribbing out there because I haven't met Dave.
Apparently you had a problem with that he didn't come in the first day and say hello like I came in the first day.
Yes,
our double agent, Fat Tad behind you there.
I came in,
he consults with you, and your beef initially was that unlike other people, like Corolla, who doesn't remember having met you, apparently, based on the handshake you gave earlier.
Yeah, the first handshake I gave Adam.
I gave him the thumbs up through the window or something, didn't I?
No, you walked in, and you gave me that the handshake with no eye contact, looking around the room like, I'm just holding some guy's
hand.
He did
that to me for about a year and a half. Don't take it
personally.
Exactly.
And, and then I complained. I was like, what the hell's up with Adam? He's like, well, Adam's just Adam.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
He turned it on. And
he
said, okay,
right.
I understand that. And I said, "What's up with Damashek? Here, he went to Indiana University. So did I.
We have
things in common." And the guy won't walk down the hall to say hello.
In the first week, you walked into the studio and you said, "Hey, I'm Frank," and I shook your hand. And,
really?
In this very seat, we had already met.
I shouldn't have had to come to you. You should have come to me.
Whoa!
No.
When someone moves into the neighborhood, all the people from the neighborhood come and deliver fruitcakes.
I should have brought you brownies and strawberries.
See?
Yes. I got to say, he does have a point there, Frank.
That was a good point.
When the new neighborhood, and then this is how you figure it out, because the only model we have here is the neighbor model. When somebody moves in, the person across the street is supposed to bake some biscuits and come across and offer it up, right? So you did not do that with Dave. But the more interesting point is that this is not just radio talk. You truly believe Dave is bad at sports.
Dave is an acquired taste. In the beginning, I thought he sucked. He's horrible. You got to get rid of him.
Right.
But now you're an acquired taste.
Starting to grow on you?
Yeah, not a taste you crave. Mm-hmm. It's more one of those, like you're stranded at sea.
And you
got to start drinking your own pee.
Forced into it.
Really?
And you realize it doesn't taste that well, but that's all you got.
So you're saying you will sustain yourself off of your own Damashek flavored urine.
Yes.
Simply because there's no other.
I have no choice.
You have no choice.
There you go.
All right, Jim.
Billy.
Jim.
Yeah.
You're a fan of Dave. You don't like what Frank is saying.
Yes, I hate Frank. I'm on the side of Dave Damashek. I'd take 100 Dave Damasheks over one Frank.
Wow.
It took you long enough to get that out. He's your ally.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm drunk, too.
All right. Thank you. Well, there's an interesting thing, though, about radio, and you brought up acquired taste. It does take a while. When I first heard Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, I probably didn't care for them. But now I've become a fan. I don't know if you guys change, if I've changed, if there's a saturation level there. Perhaps if you heard Dave more, it would saturate your bones a little bit and you would become
22.
A fan.
What do you do? I think his personal feelings got in the way. He was hurt that Dave didn't come say hello to him, and then that transcended onto the radio.
And that sounds so gay.
But he is a radio guy, and he knows
you
radio.
You really think
and he's
Dave
been
is
around.
That bad?
He's not that bad, but just when he starts that yelling thing.
You don't like the yelling.
I like him when he's calm. I don't like the over-the-top yelling.
Mm-hmm.
That's
something he
needs to come down.
I have to say this, though. The pot shots from you guys to our show.
Really?
It's got to end. It's got to end.
Really?
What else you got?
I don't care.
What other pot shots have we taken?
Actually.
Bruska's getting mad.
Bruska's the only one who gets down at pot shots at the show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm low because I'm a man of peace.
Here's one other thing.
I don't understand why I'm attacked, but he's explained it. I'm not for him. So be it.
Yeah, look, I don't mind you guys talking smack about this show. I really don't.
When you have good friends, you can gently rib people. Maybe we're not friends yet, so we can't do that.
Exactly. I think that is the inherent problem. But
I didn't realize you were so sensitive, and when someone's sensitive, then you feel like you can keep going with it because it affects them.
Yes, I understand, and then it almost becomes like a tooth that hurts, but you have to keep flicking it with your tongue. You can't help it. Fred?
Yeah.
How say you?
Frank, it's a good thing you're not in the Portland market because
Damashek rocks. And wow. Everybody here in Portland likes
it. No, listen. I don't want the no more of these pro Damashek calls.
All right.
It makes him feel as though he's being at
that's good because we don't have any others.
Yes. What do you mean? I'm sure my mother is dialing the phone as we speak.
All right. So let's just we'll agree to disagree. Let's just see what we've accomplished here.
Yes, you have to levy some sort of judgment here.
I'm funny and I'm talented, but I'm being overpaid. I'm not as funny as my price.
A little bit, yeah.
But now who is? I mean, who's doing morning radio? Isn't everyone being overcompensated?
I applaud you for getting the money that you got.
Thank you. And how much are the rest of the guys getting paid, and how funny is ManCow compared to how much money he's getting
exactly.
paid?
Exactly. ManCow sucks.
That's all I'm saying. Well, I didn't say it, but if you want to just go ahead and do that, what comedian is worth whatever they're getting? Thank you. So I'm funny, but I'm overpaid. You guys can continue to make fun of this show.
Thank you.
Don't go out of your way, but please do not use your own discretion. I don't care. Dave, as it turns out, more than just not the greeting. Legitimately annoying. Don't think he's a bona fide talent.
Exactly.
Right. Not talented at his job. Maybe if he just stuck to sports and reined it in a little
bit.
I
don't think sports on this show.
No sports.
It's
only twice a show,
sports
though.
That no one watches.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's get rid of sports. Good call.
He can stay, but just don't do sports.
Well, what would he do, though? Then he would just annoy you with his voice.
Yelling.
Then he'd be, Rachel Perry.
Wait, maybe I could get drunk every day. Oh, wait, that's Frank's bit.
Oh,
there
okay.
you go. Right. Hey, it worked for Danny Bonaducci.
All right. Well, it took a lot of Wavos to come in here. I don't know how to rule this because I don't know who's wrong and who's right. Dave, perhaps you guys could just agree to be cordial in the hall so it's not uncomfortable for me. Really, that's what I'm looking for.
That's fine. I can do that.
Okay.
Why don't you guys shake hands?
Shake hands. There we go.
We're shaking hands.
Shaking hands.
Oh, and by the way, before I go, because our show's on next, and they're still out there, those have to be the ugliest Hooters girls I've ever seen.
Oh, well, now you've crossed the line.
They sent you the riffraff. They didn't even comb their hair today. And what's with the jumpsuits?
They're pretty... That is common ground we can both agree on.
That's
I don't like those
horrible.
Jumpsuits either, but they're pretty broken up about the passing of Casper Weinberger, so if you could take it easy on them, they're in a sort of a mourning.
Okay.
Let's not kick a girl when she's down.
This is the morning clothes.
All right. Frank, thank you for
your
honesty.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. And
I had fun.
We will take a little extended break. I want to thank Tommy Chong for coming in. He's an advocate for marijuana policy project. I'll see him at the Playboy Mansion on Thursday. www.mpp.org. Charlie Steiner, the Hooters girls. Sorry about that last comment, girls, by Frank. Frank, for coming in. We appreciate your candor. Tomorrow, Bob Saget, Bo Bice, coming up from American Idol tomorrow. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.